Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode 103.
103.
My name is Chris Furchio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello, people.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And later on today, we're going to talk about whether or not developers are building games for the experience, or they're actually still doing it for the fun. Because I'm not sure what they're doing it for anymore. So
they're doing it for
before
the
that, we're going to do some distractions, some news, and then afterwards we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that,
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Oh, what's up? Not much. We're recording a podcast. Everything's pretty cool. Had a good time last night, though. A bunch of us went out to the drive-in. Saw 2012.
How was it?
Amazing special effects.
Amazing special effects. But the movie itself?
Oh, wait. That doesn't really matter. I mean, who goes to, you know, see, like, you know, storyline in a movie? They just go for the special effects, right?
I go to see the movie.
Why?
Did the movie suck?
Like that?
Is that what you're getting at?
Does it really matter? It was,
yes,
it had
matters.
Amazing special effects.
But did it suck?
Oh. Well, overall, it was a great experience. I'm not making any uncharted.
Did you have fun while watching it?
Yeah, kind of, you know, whatever. But yeah. After that, we did see Zombieland.
Again.
Still
was it as good the second time as it was
Man,
the first
time? It went by so quick. I forgot how short of a movie that was.
Yeah, that's pretty short.
But yeah, overall, we had a good time. Met a bunch of people there and did a little tailgating beforehand. So we grilled out and...
I am sad that I did not get to go.
What do they call Jeff? Wobbly Pops?
Wobbly Pops.
We had some Wobbly Pops. It was a good time overall. So, but that, you know, pushed me behind on all kinds of other stuff that I wanted to do this weekend. So, yeah, whatever. I was social.
I missed out. I am sad. Mm-hmm. But that's all right. We'll go see it eventually, I guess.
All right, cool.
That it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right, cool. Jeff, how are you, man?
Good. Nothing new on these fronts here. I had a buddy of mine's birthday yesterday. Went out and got all... Wobbly popped up, and it was fun times. Surprisingly, I feel pretty decent today, so.
Cool.
Yay.
That's good. This is like the first weekend show we've recorded where you didn't start out, God, I feel like shit.
Yeah,
<You're> like,
ah. Yeah, it's pretty much true.
Cool. Well, as many know, my wife was in a car accident earlier this week. She is fine. Liam is fine. Her car is not fine, and they ended up totaling it. So starting this past Thursday, today is Sunday, we're recording. This past Thursday, we started looking at cars, and we went to probably four or five different dealerships, and today ended up buying a new car. This was not in the cards for us for at least another 6 to 8 months, but you do what you got to do. So we're making things work out, and we ended up getting a 2010 Hyundai Elantra Touring, which is a hatchback.
Ooh.
It'll work out for being a family-ish vehicle, so that works out. And yeah, we did pretty well on it, I'd say. You know, so we got to stay with the dealership that I have a really good relationship with already, and Crystal's dad, I think, is thinking about buying a car there too. So. Yeah, a relationship is just going to build more. So when I buy my car, hopefully I'll still get a really, really good deal.
Good shit.
Yeah.
Hope so.
But that has taken up all my time this week besides my gaming time. So speaking of gaming time, hey, Jason, what you playing?
Lately, a little bit of Street Fighter 4. Hey, of course. Aside from that, all that I've really played is like a Longest Journey, of course.
Oh, cool.
And Borderlands has finally let me play it.
Finally grabbed
it. Yeah.
What level is your guy at right now?
28.
Nice.
Motherfucker.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. I'm doing good at that game. Yeah. It's slowly making me realize that this game is just like kind of the, I don't know, the bedrock for like subsequent Borderlands.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's setting the groundwork, you know, but as I'm playing it, it's like, oh, God, I wish they did this. Oh, I wish they would have improved this, you know. Stupid things like, you know, having a mini map and shit like that. More character customizations I really would have loved to have.
Mini maps, yeah. I think the most important thing that game needs.
Yeah, I really miss out on the mini map on that game.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Really, but, it becomes so helpful.
But yeah, I mean, it's got, you know, all these really good elements and, you know, it's super fun to play, but there's no depth to it whatsoever. So they really need to flesh that out in subsequent games.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't hope to. Yeah, I kind of like that though. It's kind of simple. I don't have to worry about pimping out my guns with like gems or different parts, and then
true. I you know, I'm just hoping for some more, you know, gameplay modes.
Oh, I know.
And some refinements.
Yeah.
Like I said, the character customization. But yeah, it still got that PSO feel in some aspects. I wish there was a little bit more of a, you know, just kind of a drop in, drop out kind of aspect, you know, especially with this simplified kind of gameplay. But yeah, there's not a lot of depth, but yeah, it's super fun. I'm still like absolutely in love with the aesthetics of the game. I love all the cel shading stuff, and yeah, I'm very impressed with it. I had a very depressing moment the other day. You know, I had picked up this combat rifle, and dude, this thing was godlike.
I think I read this on Twitter.
I don't even want to go into the stats or anything, but I'm just say that I had used it for probably a good 10 to 15 levels. I got it real early on, and I couldn't find anything else that was better, you know. But somewhere, at some point in the game, you know, and this is kind of not a knock, but just like a little heads up on, you know, the simplified controls and everything. Apparently what I did is, you know, when you're trying to pick up stuff off the ground, you know, if you hold E, it'll actually hot swap out the item that you're, you know, pointing at or whatever. So if you're pointing at a gun, you hold E instead of just tapping it. Right. It'll swap out for whatever you're currently using.
Right.
I'm guessing I had done that while I had my godlike combat rifle equipped.
Oh, shit.
Because I went back and I could not find it at any of the shops. I thought that I had accidentally sold it. I have no idea what the hell happened to it. But yeah, after I had booted up, you know, like the next day or something like that, I was scrolling through my weapons and it's like, that rifle looks a little different. Something's wrong. And then I fired it. I'm like, fuck! Yeah, the recoil was all bad and shit, so... I had lost my godlike rifle, and now I don't even want to play. I'm so depressed about it.
That really sucks.
You'll find there's a better rifle out there for you, Jason.
Yeah, well, there is.
Oh, dude, that's the thing. It's like I'm at a point right now where I don't have
any. There are more guns in the rack.
I keep hitting the vending machines, and it's like nothing is even coming close, or they won't even give me a combat rifle to buy. It just sucks. So, but that's actually it's a lot different than, you know, probably a couple hours ago. You know, in the game where I had just like way too many quests and they were all like set at trivial. You know, I was going to, you know, praise the game highly for its pacing and everything. But once I started getting like all these multiple quests, it got to a point where everything was like set at the trivial part. You know, nothing was like at my experience level. Like,
yeah.
I was just bombarded with all these like mundane quests. So, So yeah, I keep going back and forth with it, but man, I hope they refine the hell out of that game. I can't think of anything else that I've been playing.
Huh, okay.
Really.
Well, Jeff, take it away.
Borderlands as well.
Yeah.
I wanted to get more into it this weekend, but I didn't really have a chance to. I really like playing that game online with people. Not too many people were playing it this weekend because, well, Call of Duty came out, so I kind of taken up a lot of people's time and gaming hours. So I guess I was like one of that, like right now. Picked up Call of Duty, got the Prestige Edition. With my night vision goggles, I can see in the dark.
So do they work?
Oh, they work really well. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah. They're awesome. Wow. But the problem is it's only one LCD screen that's in the goggles, so it's not dual. So there's no really depth of field at all, which kind of makes it really awkward if you want to walk around with them on because you end up just putting your hands out. Like, I don't know how far that is, and you're just kind of like, I don't know. But you can see in the dark really well.
There we go.
Locked myself in the washroom in the pitch black, and I was like, whoa, this is cool. Oh, yeah, I can see everything. Turn on the water. Wow. Badass.
Wow.
And, of course, I have to show them to everyone who comes over, and they're like, this is so amazing. You have night vision goggles. Then I'm like sitting there, when would I ever use these things? Besides... being like, these are cool, I have night vision goggles.
Besides just being absolutely creepy and staring at T while she sleeps.
Exactly, that would be very creepy. But now me and Kai are on equal levels, so I can hunt her in the dark now. Yeah. Won't surprise me. And actually, I think it'd be kind of cool using camping, actually. That'd be kind of fun. But
there you go.
Anyway, the game was a game also, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which... is really good. It's this single player I've already got through. It's really, really short. It is shorter than 4 by, I'd say, maybe 45 minutes to an hour. So not by too much.
Wow, really?
But it's better looking. I'm not sure which one at this point I like more. I think I like Call of Duty 4 single player more at this point because it just feels like it was more memorable. Like I can pick out a bunch of stuff and talk to people. Like, oh, I remember this part in Call of Duty 4. I remember this part in, you know, where this one is kind of... really good from beginning to end, but the holy crap moments and wow moments I don't seem are as big as Call of Duty 4, or maybe just because Call of Duty 4 did it first, a lot of these things, so it had more of an impact, I guess, on me.
Yeah,
I remember.
More than likely.
But Yeah, there's some really, it is very violent. There's some stuff in this game that happens. You're just like, wow, I can't believe.
Yeah, the big controversy now is that whole no rushing level.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you feel playing that?
Do you think it was necessary? To tell you the truth, I don't know if it was, I think it was kind of necessary. I can see where the point, they wanted you to, that is the whole story pretty much is based on that event. It's basically the Russians are, or this terrorist group is basically framing the Americans by making it look like they were the ones who attacked this Russian airport. Uh-huh. So that's kind of, that kind of starts the whole chain of events. But so I guess they had to show it one way or the other. And I think they did want you to get really pissed at the main antagonist. But right. I think it was, it's hard to say. It was necessary to show it. I'm not sure it was necessarily necessary for them to make you play that part. But it's not that, like, I mean, you don't have to shoot the civilians. You can just aim around them and just shoot at the walls and stuff, which is basically what I did. Because for the first part, it just seemed wrong. They're mowing down civilians, are running, yeah, screaming, and crawling on the ground while they're, like, bleeding and just getting shot in the head. Yeah, it is kind of,
it was a little unsettling, definitely.
Yeah, I was. I was kind of sitting there like, wow, this is really awkward. But then all of a sudden, the cops start coming in and the army starts shooting at you. And at that point, I'm like, fuck it, it's on. If they're trying to kill me, I'm shooting back. So, yeah. But it was, I don't know. You can tell they did it for, like, a kind of like shock value, but it was kind of needed to show that. But I just don't know if it was needed to play it. But I'm not against that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah,
I don't believe in censorship, but I mean, it was unsettling, that's for sure. Like, it's one of those games where you're just sitting there like, wow, it's actually making me feel kind of emotional in some kind of way. So
yeah, there's good and bad associated with that. So I still don't know how I feel about it. I haven't actually played it. I've just, you know, seen it in action.
Seen the videos.
I'm like, whoa, yeah. So I can't even imagine playing it. I think I'd feel even worse. So.
Yeah, it felt pretty horrible. Yeah. That's why I didn't shoot anything. I was shooting like up in the air and just shooting around and whatever, looking the other way.
So you actually went through the mission, but you didn't do anything.
I did, yeah. Because if you don't shoot at all, they kill you. But if you have to at least pretend you're shooting at them.
Like, okay, so you can shoot at them and miss.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was missing by a long shot. I wasn't even shooting close to them, and I was just like, yeah, you know, walking around while the other guys did their business.
Did their business.
Multiplayer is awesome. I love it. They refined it so much. They made little tweaks here and there, but they also made huge changes. Like, now they reward you for sucking, which is kind of cool. So if you get if you die, I think it's 3 times without killing anyone, you get death streaks now that go along with the kill streaks. So you'll get something like a health bonus for like 10 seconds. Or one thing I really like, which I think is a good idea, because a lot of people complain about that game, is they have the whole unlocking of the new weapons, and you have to open up stuff as you progress multiplayer, which some people are like, well, why? So that means people who are good get rewarded faster. And yeah, that is kind of true, but at the same time, they added this thing, the death streak. So if you get killed by somebody and like 3 times in a row without killing anyone, you can hit Y, and that steals whoever killed you. It takes their class. So basically, you get their gun, whatever it was outfitted with. Thing. I'm not sure if it gives you their perks. I'm pretty sure it does. So if you're really sucking, you can't use the excuse, well, they have better shit than me now, because you hit Y, and when you respawn, you're going to be exactly outfitted as the guy who killed you. So
interesting.
That's weird.
You can now customize your kill streaks, and there's like 15 or no, like 10 different kill streak stuff now. So now you can, besides bringing up the radar and bringing in the helicopter or an airstrike, you can fire a, I can't remember what the missile's called, but it basically fires from like the sky, and you can aim it as it's going down, and pretty much, well, it's an instant kill for one, but it's pretty cool. And you can do, you can bring in a Harrier jet now, which is badass. Did you guys play four? There's the AC-130 gunship. You can bring that
in. I played four.
Control it. Did you?
I played four, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm impressed by it overall. It's addicting. It's the whole carrot in front of the horse kind of thing to keep you going, because it's, yeah, every single time you're leveling up and you're unlocking stuff even when you're sucking. So it gives you incentive to play.
That's good to know.
It's good to know. Yeah, I think that's about it for that right now. Okay. What else did I play? I played a little bit of Dragon Age. I said I wasn't going to start it until I was done with like Borderlands, at least another game. So I only played it for 10 minutes because I put it in. I'm like, I got to at least see the beginning, the intro or something.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I played it for about 15, 20 minutes. Just like I just picked a human because when I actually play the game, I think I want to be an elf. And I think they all start in different parts of the world. So like they all have different origin stories that start totally different.
Correct.
It'll be kind of new. So yeah, it reminded me of basically Knights of the Old Republic, but in medieval times. That's what it pretty much was to me. I'm not sure.
Right. Bad thing, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely not. I do wish, though, they went back to the old style way of doing the dialogue stuff, where he just tells you what you want to say and then you just pick it. Where yeah. I kind of wish they still went the Mass Effect way, because that way was so cool. I think that is just more, I don't know, intuitive and just kind of made the conversations flow more realistically. Mm-hmm. And plus, your main character doesn't really talk, so doesn't talk at all, which is kind of weird. So I can't really get into much about that game, but I did get into it, and hopefully next week I'll talk about it a lot more.
Good
okay. So yeah, other than that, a bunch of other regular stuff, but that's what was new.
Cool.
Yeah, Chris, what you playing?
All right, here we go. Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm addicted to Fallout 3.
Hey. Oh, you're back into it. Welcome, Chris.
I ended up picking up, let's see, the first four expansions, which were Operation Anchorage, The Pit, Broken Steel, and the island one, I can't remember, Point Lookout.
Yeah.
Ended up getting those in disc form. Found them both for like $12 each, so I paid $24 for all four packs, so that's pretty good.
I gotta get those.
That's what I was kind of waiting for to do this, because I wanted to get them for a little bit cheaper, but yeah, playing them, and let's see, I finished Operation Anchorage, and I also finished The Pit, and man, as soon as I jumped back in, I was addicted again. It's like now, it's like I come home and I play Fallout, and I wake up in the morning, I play Fallout, and it kind of sucks because I've got so many other games that I want to play, and I started playing Fallout, and now I can't stop. You know, the expansion packs are really, really good so far. Operation Anchorage is kind of weird, just because of the way they do it, because it's kind of like I don't know if you guys know about it, but it basically is a simulation of the Battle of Anchorage. Getting it back from the Chinese.
Right.
So it's you don't get like stim packs and that kind of shit to regain your health, and you don't pick up guns from your enemies to regain, ammo and stuff like that. They actually have like little like ammo and health spots that you show up and you click on it and you get all your health back. It's kind of weird that way. But it was really cool. I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was you get to pick up some new weapons and stuff like that. So, the payoff at the end of the expansion's pretty good. They have, like, this energy sniper rifle that you pick up at the end of Anchorage that is freaking badass. I don't even bring my sniper rifle with me anymore. I just bring that. So that's pretty cool. The other one I played through is The Pit. And, basically Pittsburgh's been taken over by raiders, and there's like this big slaving thing going on, and you're trying to help the slaves. Well, The Pit is a little quirky. Okay. I talked to Jason about this a little bit, and if you have Point Lookout installed, The Pit breaks pretty much. You go out to this steel mill, and I was just walking around and trying to explore the steel mill because it's that whole cliche RPG thing where, as soon as you get to the area where you're supposed to go, it's like, oh, I'm going to take all your equipment. It's like, fuck, there goes my plasma rifle that I was using.
No, let me out of jail.
Exactly.
Bust out and get my shit back.
You start out with basically a revolver, and that's it. And then you have to – you kind of go into this steel mill, and you pick up shit off of dead bodies, and you find raiders attack you every once in a while, and you have to get stuff off them. And they have this new enemy called the Trog, which is basically this
– Trogdor.
Yeah, Trogdor. But it's they have the ghouls in the wasteland?
Mm-hmm.
The Trogs are like Pittsburgh's version of the ghouls. But they are super fast and very powerful and claw the shit out of you. So, as you're walking around the steel mill, you're looking for these steel ingots. And I got the amount that I needed, and I was walking around exploring some, and I'm on top of this roof, and all of a sudden I fall through the floor to my death.
Oh.
Of course I was doing really well. It's not like, my character's level 22, 23 by this point, and mm-hmm. I'm not having any problem getting through the enemies. I'm cutting through most, I'm not cutting through it because I'm still using these basic pistols with like an attack power of 10, mm-hmm. but I'm doing well enough to the point where I didn't feel like I was in trouble. So I didn't save. So I went and got all this stuff and then fell through the map to my death. And
no.
I had to do it all over again. So I was a little pissed about that. So I like left it and came back, and I was like, maybe it was just this like one time glitch. And so I got back to where I was before I fell through the ground, and saved it. And then I walked across and fell through the ground to my death again.
God damn it.
And no matter how I approached this area on this roof, I fell through to my death. Huh. And I started doing some research, and apparently Point Lookout, the expansion Point Lookout, breaks the pit. So I uninstalled Point Lookout so I could play the pit. Which
shitty.
Yeah, really shitty. And, you know, I saw on a forum somewhere that I think it was GameSpot, I saw that they said they fixed it. Maybe they fixed it for downloadable DLC, but I'll tell you what, it definitely wasn't fixed with the disc-based stuff that I was using, which is odd because you just install it onto the hard drive anyway.
Right.
But, you know, it got significantly worse than that. It's like I wasn't dying, but there's like one other place where I fell to my death besides the roof that I was on. Mm-hmm. And then I found a spot on the ground where I could actually walk through the wall into this big, barren, empty nothing. You know, and it's like, you know, when you fall through the map, fall through maps, or if you like happen to, you know,
right.
Maybe the contact is off or you can see into the polygons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, walls are, they kind of disappear. They're almost like two-way mirrors, right? So you can see through them, but you can't see, you know, you can see through them when you're inside, but
that would be a
one-way
mirror.
Actually in the game, you can't. So, and that's what it was like. It's like I could see through everything and, you know, I only was able to go back into the game through the one spot that I found where I fell through it. Hmm. So a little bit of frustration there. But, you know, uninstalled Point Lookout, got back to the pit and really enjoyed that piece of DLC as well. Basically if anybody plays the DLC, that the pit is as far as I've gotten, but my suggestion is when you go into the pit, leave all your shit behind. You do get it back when they take it from you. But by the time you get it back, you're going to have so much other equipment. You're going to have to deal with like inventory shit to make sure that you're not over encumbered and that kind of crap. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leave everything you have behind, and you know, you have to go in like this special attire basically. So I pretty much left everything except for that one piece of attire, and that's how I went. And then you start off the pit down DLC with just that little gun that you get, but after that you start picking up shit left and right, and you get over encumbered pretty quickly. But yeah, I'm addicted to it again. I'm now working on the Broken Steel DLC, and love it. Love Fallout 3. Cannot wait for a sequel to this game. I know it's like, it only came out last year and I'm already itching for a sequel. It's
bad. No doubt. Hopefully it won't be another like 10 years or whatever.
I know.
So DLC, special feature episode,
confirmed? I am all for it if you guys decide, if at least one of you decides to get it and play through it as well.
I'm down.
But I am all for it because I am so enjoying this. I have to say this though, Broken Steel, you know, Broken Steel makes it so that you can level up to level 30 and it gives you a bunch more perks, and every level you get a perk. So I'm going through these new perks, just looking at what they are. Dude, they suck. The perks from 20 to 30 are ass.
What do they do?
It's like there's the only good ones that I've seen is like one is called Puppies, and basically if dog meat dies, another dog meat shows up at Vault 101. So
kinda cool.
That's all right. Yeah.
That one's kind of cool. Let's see. The other ones that I found are like there's one that opens up at level 26 or so. That's mm-hmm. called I forgot what it's called, but it basically regenerates your action points quicker. So I'm waiting to get that one. There's one that allows you to sleep in any bed for 8 hours to get fully rested,
okay.
Or to get well rested, so you get that 10% experience bonus.
Tell me some shitty ones.
Some of the shitty ones are like some of the shitty ones are like instantly make your karma negative. Instantly
okay.
make your karma neutral. Instantly make your karma good. It's like,
yeah, that's for unlocking additional quests, right? So that's kind of practical because there's some quest lines, you know,
that you can't get,
only able to do.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's like by that time, you've probably done them if you want to do them.
Well, the completionist in me would appreciate that.
I think. Okay. Well, I'm trying to think of some of the others. I'll have to go back and look. But I mean, one of them is like, you know, if you have any stat below 5, it raises all your stats to 5. So that one's not bad, but by the time you get to level 20, whatever, you know, if you've been playing your cards right, you've probably done, you know, the intense training a couple times and you've gotten some of those stats up, so you can get some of the better perks, you know. But I actually went back and I got like a level 20 perk again. Like when I hit level 21, I got a level 20 perk. When I hit level 22, I got a level something else perk, like level 18 perk. And yeah. I actually went all the way back and got Mysterious Stranger, which is like a level 10 perk, because there was just nothing out of the level 22 and the level 24 stuff that I wanted. Gotcha. And now I'm building up my melee attack skill so I can get the ninja perk, which is a level 20 perk. So, you know, to each their own. But the ones that I mentioned before are pretty cool, and you know, I'll probably get a couple of those. And then when you hit level 30, they actually have a perk that will raise all your stats to 9, which would probably make you ridiculously powerful.
Likely.
Yeah, and I can't remember what the other one is. I'll have to look them up and tell them to you guys after the break or something, just to get some laughs out of some of them, because some of them are just like ridiculous. But let's see. Besides that, I picked up Phantasy Star Zero for DS.
I'm sorry,
I really haven't played it enough because of Fallout. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's like the PSO lover in me likes it. But the semi-graphics horror in me hates it.
Because it's nasty
so
looking.
Ugly. I mean, the character models actually aren't that bad, but when you see like the textures for like the backgrounds and shit, it's like, hello, Mr. Pixel, you're like half my screen.
No doubt. I actually found last night, because John had it on his DS and he was playing it, and I'm like, I was sitting off to the side of him. I'm like, if you look at it at the right angle, just kind of off to the side, not directly on, it looks passable. Believe it or not.
But you have to kind of like tilt
you
it to
like
side.
Squint a little bit. Yeah. Make everything blend a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a couple things about the game that really frustrates me, because they had PSO and then they went to PSU, and a lot of people think that, you know, a lot of things were a step back, and I kind of agree.
Oh yeah. But
there were a lot of things that were also a step forward. For instance, inventory management. You know, they had a really, really good palette swap system in PSU and in Phantasy Star Portable, where you can actually equip 6 different sets of weapons and switch them on the fly. And then you could kind of like put 6 different items on the palette as well and use them on the fly. And, you know, that was really, really welcome for me, because it was instead of having 6 actions you could do, you now have an attack. And, you know,
Chris, we've been down this. We're getting PSO warnings already, or PSU warnings. Okay.
In reality, it boils down to the game is good, but they should have kept some of the stuff from PSU that they didn't.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a step backward.
Yeah, the palette control is the biggest one for me.
But at the same time, they added some new stuff like the shields, blocking function. I think rolling is in there as well,
which is really cool.
Which is also going to be included in Phantasy Star Portable 2,
which I'm really looking forward to now.
No shit.
And you got a chance to play that demo a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. So I mostly just checked out the costumes,
which are awesome.
Yeah, they're a huge step up, I think.
Yeah, aesthetically, the game is. It's a lot better just because of the amount of customization that's there, and they pretty much changed everything as far as how you can customize your character. And it looks like you can just, I haven't played it yet, but it looks completely different.
We mentioned the shields and blocking and the roll function as well, so that's going to be included. Rangers have a new circle strafe, you know, and they have gun blades and actually I think the gun blades are in PS0. I'm not positive though.
Maybe.
But yeah, so no longer just side-to-side strafing. You can actually do circle strafe, which is awesome. Very excited. It really makes me wish that they would bring this to consoles or PC with all the improvements that they made.
Do you really need the circle strafe in Phantasy Star?
Yeah. And
really?
Phantasy Star, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you do, yeah.
It's a better mechanic than the side-to-side strafing with the guns.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It works a lot better. I prefer a circle strafe, where you lock on. Yeah. In this kind of
And they actually
game,
they actually
yeah.
in Phantasy Star Zero, even the forces get that ability. It's helpful. But that's pretty much it. So I mean I haven't been playing much. Fallout 3 is consuming me again. It's really bad.
So let's jump into our good old distraction for this for last month, which is now 2 weeks late, but who cares?
Sorry. Well, they weren't kidding when they called it the longest journey, so it took us forever and a day to get to a point where we felt comfortable talking about it.
That's right. This is a longest journey. but from goodoldgames.com. It's $10, and I believe it comes with two soundtracks. Am I remembering that right?
That sounds about right. Yeah,
I can double check. And artwork and all that other stuff. All the good stuff you expect from goodoldgames.com. And this is a point-and-click adventure to rise up with the best of them.
I would say so, definitely. Oh, by the way, Jeff's on break right now.
Yeah, because he's a douchebag and he didn't play it. So
pretty much.
Jason, you're much more into the point-and-click adventure games than I am, but I have to say that this is probably, of the few that I've played, this is by far my favorite. I've only played like three or four.
I have to agree.
Oh, really? Because I know you've played more than I have.
Yeah.
So, but I like the characters. I like the way they lay them out. I like the way, like April, the main character, mm-hmm. They do a really good job of introducing her to you. And you really get a feel of the kind of person she is. And, you know, she's an 18-year-old art student that's moved away from her family to go to school. And she's living in this basically low-cost housing. And you get to know, like, the people that run the housing. You get to know her neighbors. You get to just, I mean, it's just amazing way of presenting the characters and actually fleshing them out. And I think they did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah, and that was something that I was kind of worried about at first. I'm always skeptical of point-and-click adventure games, especially if they seem like they're going to be really, really long because you're worried about getting bored, right? And there are definitely a couple points in the game in which I felt that. But to back up things, the way that you start off in the game is you're inside of like a dream sequence. And, you know, it was very fantasy based. You know, this is like a talking dragon and a talking tree and all this. And I'm like, oh God, if the game's going to be like this, it might be a little too heavy handed for me. But as it turns out that, you know, it was a real quick intro to things that were to come. So after that dream sequence, you know, you wake up inside the real world, which is kind of like, you know, a little bit set in the future. We've got flying cars and stuff, but it's still very well could be in today's day and age, right? Certainly all the characters are at a very down to earth, which works out great because you actually get to know everyone. And that was kind of something that I was worried about too, because there was so much focus on all this exposition and, you know, character dialogue and everything, but everything's like so believable.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the presentation and, you know, just the way that they interact with one another, the dialogue and everything, it's very believable. So while I was a little, you know, scared of that, when I turned off the game, I'm like, well, shit, I actually like these characters. I want to go back and, you know, experience a little
bit.
Except
for Zach. Nobody likes Zach.
Well, and that's the thing. He's a very memorable character.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. That just shows you how well they actually lay out these characters.
Even the douchebags.
I mean, it takes a very short time to have a major hatred towards this character, Zach.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you spend a lot of time not liking him.
Very true.
I mean, it really, that's the way it works out. And, you know, the one thing that was, and you kind of mentioned it, and one thing that I was going to point out is that this game is entirely voice acted, and it is a big-ass game. And the acting is, I'm not going to say it's fantastic, but it's good.
Yeah, a lot of delivery is very good in most of the characters, I think. There are some characters where they're obviously using this really bad accent, and
that's
true. Speaking very slowly.
Yeah, that's true too.
But for the most part, I think
main characters that you see the most are very well acted, and they seem to interact with each other very well. And as you said, it's very believable. I like it a lot.
Yeah, a lot of that's due to just the little flourishes. You know, everybody's got their own little quirky personality. You can tell that they're not just reading from a script. You know, they're actually trying to get in character.
Yeah.
So that helps a lot and lends a lot to the immersion in the game, which I was very, very thankful for. Mm-hmm. And you need that sort of thing in these types of games.
Oh, absolutely, because this game is primarily story-driven, and that's why this is a lot of this review is just going to be about how the game is presented and how puzzles are solved and stuff like that, because we can't really go into it much more than that without giving story away, because there's so much to it. It's all driven by the story.
Right, yeah, we don't want to spoil anything, but, you know, as far as presentation is concerned, aside from, you know, the great voice acting, and the excellent dialogue. I think the set pieces are really very interesting as well, because you are kind of set in the future. But you know, it all plays down to, you know, kind of real world stuff. There's actually two different worlds that you two like alternate universes, and I hope that's not giving away too much, but you will kind of bebop back and forth between those two worlds. So there is the kind of the highfalutin like fantasy and you know environment as well, but there's also the science side of things, which is like the other world. But they blend together really well, and I think it makes a really good experience overall. But if we can move on to the gameplay real quick, as far as like
point-and-click
adventures are concerned, standard fare. You know, you're going to find there's a lot of like pixel hunting, I think it's called. You know, where you're actually just kind of moving your mouse around and just looking
see
for
if you
shit
can pick something up, right?
Which can frustrate a lot of people. And not only that, the pacing is really slow. So, I mean, she walks pretty much everywhere, and you can double click to get her to run to different areas, but it's still really slow. Yeah. As far as the animation is concerned, like if she's picking up an item or something like that, it's an event, you know? I mean, she kind of walks over there, she stops, kind of looks down, bends over, you know, picks it up, and it takes a while, and it's kind of grating at times. So that's somewhere where I'd kind of mark it down a little bit because it's very slow paced. You know, the whole game overall is a slow burn, but I think the mechanics of it can make it a little frustrating. And Chris, we talked about this before, the puzzle solving, I think it's a little unbelievable at times. Some of the stuff is
really
hard. Just makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. You know? Before we jump into this game, this part of this discussion, let me just say that if you're going to play this game, please, for the love of all that's holy, use a fucking FAQ. Cause this game is real. I mean, some of the stuff I actually want to, this is one that you and I talked about, Jason, and I do want to kind of give this away. So this is kind of a puzzle spoiler, you know, it's
they'll probably need it. I mean, shit.
Yeah, you might need it. There's this one part where you have to pick up a key, and you pick up a key by creating this makeshift like fishing rod sort of, and you get the parts for this little fishing rod from all over the place. So
junk that you pick up. You know.
Exactly. When you first leave the low cost housing, when you first actually venture into the city, you can actually find this machine that is not working right now. And there's this giant clamp on the machine, and you have to like turn, twist, and dial with certain different dials and get this machine to work again. And then you can remove the clamp, so you have that clamp. And then when you go back to your room, you can look out the window and you can collect a clothesline and an inflatable duck, and you can't actually even get the duck yet. You have to like make the duck move and make it float somewhere else, and then you have to go to an entire
You have to like take some bread to like throw down by the duck, and then some seagulls come by and like destroy the duck and
crazy
then
stuff.
Yeah.
So then you have to go and get the duck, and then you have to look at the duck, and you actually have to remove a piece from the duck. Then you have to combine these three items in such a way that you can make this makeshift this makeshift fishing rod. Mm-hmm. And then you have like a certain time window that you can use it to pick up this key. So it can get kind of daunting after a while. And it's a little intimidating by the amount of puzzle solving and the amount of inventory that there is, and there's going to be a lot of useless items that you're going to pick up and be like, oh, well, I haven't even used this
yet. I'll have to use it at some point. I don't know what for, but
yeah. And, I would say definitely use the FAQ, because the puzzles in this game, they're so well thought out, but they're so hard at the same time. So
there's a couple of them that it's like, you have to connect these two wires with like this gold ring. It's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Gold's not really that conductive, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of true. And they're just kind of throwing that in, you know, oh, it's metal, it works. Yeah. And you know, whether it works or not, you know, I can't remember from my physics class if it's conductive enough to let electricity go across or not. But, they're doing the best they can to make it believable. But yeah, I mean, it's God, use a FAQ, please.
Yeah, I definitely found it more enjoyable once I started doing that. Because at first, and the only thing that holds me back in these games is just like the frustrating, just random clicking around, you know. Mm-hmm. I want to just experience that storyline and that part of the game. So this makes it a lot easier. But, you know, at the same time, you know, some people really enjoy that, you know, the puzzle solving aspects of it. So,
yeah.
Give it a shot first.
And even if you do use a FAQ, you still get the same enjoyment out of, you know,
the story.
The story and even the puzzles in general. I mean, I actually like, as I'm doing things like this, I'm thinking to myself, man, that's so creative to do it that way, especially that, you know, the whole makeshift fishing rod thing. I thought that was incredibly creative the way they laid that all out for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought it was very well done. It's just going to be really difficult for people that don't do point and click adventures a lot, like
yeah.
me.
Yeah, very true. So, yeah, it's a genre in its own category, I guess. You know, like it takes a certain breed to like the point and click adventures, I think.
Agreed. So, what else can we talk about? Visually, the game is, you know, it's, you know, standard, probably late PS1, early PS2 gen looking. Got some FMV in there for cutscenes and stuff. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does look pretty good.
It's not anything jaw dropping, but it's definitely well presented, and it's not enough to make it hard to play the game. So mm-hmm. you know, it was well done, I thought. So that's good.
That's a plus. Yeah, like I said, the set pieces are really great. So the backgrounds, I think, are pretty amazing. They've got the whole 2D thing going on, but they've got the 3D models. So there's times when it's like, you know, it doesn't mesh very well, but for the most part, they blend in.
Yeah, it's very everything. All the backgrounds are pre-rendered. Mm-hmm. They're all pre-rendered backgrounds, and they look really, really good. And they do a pretty good job of showing, like, having that the 3D characters and everything on these pre-rendered backgrounds. It looks pretty good that way.
Yeah, and like I said, everything changes up. You know, sometimes you're in super sci-fi spaceship areas, and then sometimes you're on like a boat. You know, out in the middle of the sea.
On a boat.
And, you know, other times you're just in like a city. Then other times you're in like this big expansive like dreamscape sequence. So
yeah.
You go all over the place.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like the differences in the scenery as well. It really, it keeps things a little less monotonous because you get to move back and forth between these two parallel worlds.
Yep.
And, you know, it brings a lot more interest to the story in my opinion too. So mm-hmm. yeah, I like it a lot.
Same here. So, overall, should we buy this?
I definitely would say that that's worth it if you are a fan of the point-and-click adventures. Mm-hmm. My personal rating is I'm giving it a minor distraction only because I'm not huge on the point-and-click adventures, but I do like them. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're into the point-and-click adventures, this is easily a major distraction, no doubt.
And, you know, coming from someone who, you know, grew up on point-and-click adventures and they hold a very... big heart or big hole in my heart. They fill it. I really liked the presentation of this. So, I would give it a major distraction, even though I didn't get much of a chance to play it, but
yeah. Well,
highly recommend to any point and click adventure fans.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. This is definitely one of the best that I've seen.
Yay.
And it's fantastic. Go for it.
Cool.
All right. Let's move on. Let's hand the show over to Jeff. Do some news.
All right. Let's get this news out of the way here.
Let's do it.
Number one, we're talking about Call of Duty. Actually, Modern Warfare 2 is fast-selling video game ever. Sold 4.7 million in 24 hours. That's kind of an estimated. That is a lot.
Is that shipped or sold or what?
Well, they don't really... I think it's probably shipped. That's pretty much what they go for.
Yeah.
But yeah, considering that when that... Well, Grand Theft Auto was the next close behind, which I think it sold 3.2 or 3.3.
Okay.
So this blew it away by over a million. Well, estimated million anyway. It's the largest entertainment grossing product like
release ever.
Ever. Release ever. Beat all movies, ever. All video game launches, which isn't really surprising. I mean, this game is Modern Warfare, and that's like everyone loves the Call of Duties, especially in North America. In Europe,
especially in North America,
they certainly do. I don't know what's up with that. Yeah, it doesn't seem like that boycott seemed to affect
the
anything.
Boycott would never affect it. The only people who care, but the boycott are like the hardcore gamers, and we're such a minority. It doesn't really matter,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
Don't tell me that they don't matter.
All right, you can start an internet petition. We'll get out there so Activision can go down. Yeah,
Chris would sign that.
I wish.
I'm sure. There you go. You can start that, Chris. Send
Will
it over
do.
No, sign I won't. It. But I'll still play good. Call of Duty because it's good.
I don't try and impose my views that much. I will tell people why I feel that way if they ask me. But you know, I definitely respect other people's opinions when it comes to that kind of stuff. So
I hear you. I hear you. What's your opinion on Alan Wake maybe coming out in May?
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, that's true,
that's
too.
My opinion on Alan Wake.
It's been in development, what, like 5 years now, and apparently someone close to the game said that they're looking for a global release in May of 2010. So not official, and Microsoft basically just came back and said, we don't comment on rumors and speculation. Same old canned response to give for when any of this stuff gets released.
But, as many times as you said that on this show, you'd think you wouldn't screw it up anymore.
Yeah, I know. I say it all the time. Seriously. Talking about PSP, played Phantasy Star Portable earlier with the whole Ad Hoc Party. That's how you played it a lot, right, Chris? With the Japanese version of Ad Hoc Party. Well, Sony's going to be bringing that to North America soon.
Yay!
Fucking time. When? Yes.
No release date.
They're
coming out with details with it later, and they're going to say what it is coming soon. It's also going to be compatible. You can be able to use your PSI for communication as well as a Bluetooth headset. So that's probably if you have a PS, but I guess it goes through the PS3, so that's how that's made possible. Yeah. Or if you have a PSP Go, then there you go. That already is connected directly to there.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is pretty damn cool.
Good stuff. We talked about this. It's finally coming out.
Yeah, seriously. We talked about this many times on the show, the whole DLC or digital distribution versus retail. GameStop has decided they're going to start selling DLC. They're going to have some kind of program where you go into the store and you pay for the downloadable content, you go home, and then it'll be ready for you to download on your system. They haven't really said how they're going to do this, and I can't see how they're going to do this either, because unless it works directly with PSN or Xbox Live, I don't understand how this will work, and if Sony or Microsoft even allow it.
If they're going to have, like, you know, retail codes, you know, for that specific game or whatever,
then it's
doable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the way they're explaining it in this article here, it's not just a code. You'll actually just purchase it there, and then it'll be ready for you to download when you get home. So I don't know how that's – well, that's what they're planning on doing. That's and this is also a way they can also still sell used games, because now that some retailers – not retailers, publishers are throwing in – kind of like extra stuff to new copies of games. Like Gears of War 2 was the first I did it. If you buy a new copy of the game, you got like an extra level, I think it was, plus the gold guns. Dragon Age has the whole Mass Effect DLC, the Dragon Age armor, which looks really badass, by the way.
Yeah.
It does look really cool, and an extra character as well, and mission. But now they're basically, you're going to go to GameStop, you can still buy the game used, and they'll offer you now, like, hey, you want to buy the extra DLC or whatever, it'll be this charge more or whatever. So that's kind of, I don't know. I really don't care about this, because, I mean, if you have access to DLC and if you can get stuff digitally, I don't understand why you'd want to purchase it in a store anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
I kind of agree.
Not to go to a store.
It really doesn't make much sense to either, because you're going to go into the store and buy it and you're going to pay tax on it. And then you're going to go home and download it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless there's some sort of physical media that they're giving you in order to get the DLC straight onto your system, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, except for people, I guess, who don't have credit cards and stuff like that. But then again, you can buy Microsoft points and PSN points. So,
yeah, at the store. Yeah. So either it works the same way that way, either way. So
Who knows?
Whatever.
Another thing coming to PS3 shortly. Maybe around the ad hoc thing. Hopefully it can be around the ad hoc thing, because then you can post and update your Facebook saying, I got ad hoc party
on
my PSP
awesome.
In North America.
Me now, too. I can do it as well.
And then I can write a comment and be like, awesomes. Let's play some PlayStation or Phantasy Star Portable on the Facebook so I can update from my PS3 on my XMB.
I was so fucking jealous.
I know.
That 360 was going to get it.
No kidding.
I was going to be left out. Awesome. So that's why I said that the 360, it sucks.
Yep.
Because you're getting coming. Facebook and Twitter.
Getting to
but
Facebook,
now that I'm getting it, it's awesome.
It is awesome. And so now you can update stuff. But I don't know. What would your first update be? What would you put up there? You just got your account transferred over?
I would totally click on that cross-media bar icon, and I'd get my little keyboard out, and the first thing I would type would be, Who gives a shit?
I'd also say pooping on my PS3. Pooping while playing PS3.
Pooping on your PS3.
Yes.
I still don't understand why this is a big thing. You know, it's like you could already do it from the browser anyway.
Well, yeah, but that's...
Oh, come on. You gotta, like,
you have to go into the browser, you have to put in your password, you have to...
This is integrated and shit.
This is integrated, yeah. It will be a lot easier. It'll be like using an app on your iPhone, but it's... Yeah. I just don't see the point of it being on a 360 or a PS3.
I would agree with that, but for the people that do want that kind of shit, you gotta... I mean, from what I understand, Facebook requires gold on Xbox Live, which is crap, in my opinion.
It's pretty stupid, eh?
Yeah, so I mean, to have the Twitter and the Facebook both require gold, and like Last.fm does too, and I can kind of understand Last.fm requiring gold, but Twitter and Facebook, it should be free. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah, it should be.
But that's mark that down as another feature on the PS3 that I'm never going to use.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, added functionality is cool. I'm all about that.
It's always a plus, but I just don't see the point of it.
Yeah.
Well, they're just trying. They're playing catch up, dude. They're just trying to make sure.
Yeah, it's another Me Too thing. Kind of thing.
You know, exactly. It's a Me Too thing, and you know, now they're saying Me Too, and it's free. So that's kind of what they're doing. They're, you know, Netflix was Me Too, and it's free, and now Facebook is Me Too, and it's free. And then you know, Twitter's probably not far behind. I would bet that's coming next.
I fucking hate that comparison. I really do. Saying, oh, it's not free because you have to have a live membership or gold or whatever. So yeah, but it's like that's like something that most 360 owners have already.
Exactly. And if you're into Facebook and Twitter, you probably are playing online, which you already have a live account anyway.
Right.
Like, right. And I agree. But at the same time, why not make it free? You know, is it really that much of a big deal that they have to require gold for it? You know, I would just think of it as a good gesture to those who are playing games on Xbox. You know, I don't know. That's just the way I think about it, I guess. Either way, it doesn't matter because I'm not going to use it on either system.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. Whatever. But, you know, there is that whole, but we have it free thing that PSN has. And
I don't give a shit. Whatever. That's stupid. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I tell you what, I would like to see, something on either PS3 or 360. I don't care if they got like Pandora Radio. That would be pretty cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, Pandora's switching over to like a subscription kind of service now, though.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, like you get a certain amount of hours per month or week or something for free, and then afterwards, yeah, then you have to charge in order to skip songs. You know what I mean?
Oh right.
Yeah. So they're slowly integrating subscription, which is, I don't know. Okay. I was really surprised that it wasn't a paid service to begin with because it was so good. But
yeah, I know that like when they did the music player straight from like Yahoo Messenger. I think they did that on that where it was pay for unless you wanted to sit through all the songs that you didn't like, you couldn't skip.
Yeah.
But in reality, all you had to do was go over to the player and hit stop and play, and it would go to a new song anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that even works anymore. I'm not sure how they do that. I haven't looked at Yahoo Radio in years.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But anyway. Yeah, Facebook
news.
Hooray.
Yep.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problemo.
All right, let's take a break.
All right.
We're gonna come back, we're gonna talk about if developers are programming more for the experience and less for the fun, and then we're gonna do some new releases, a GOG giveaway, and then listener email and a new question of the week. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Yo man, check it out. It's Kill9. Yo, what's up? This is an expletive deleted joint. They got the news and reviews that you all could use. From Atlanta to Canada to the internet to you. So all y'all in the house, let me hear you make some noise. Get up out to seats and jump for joy. Just yell, who gives a shit? Like you just don't care. Cause interactive distractions is on the air. Straight up, bitches. It's like a regular distraction. Except y'all participate. You.
And welcome back.
You welcome back. Nice.
All right. So today we are talking about whether developers are making games more for the experience and less for the fun. This was a question of the week that was brought to us by Mr. Nabashin. He sent in an email that last week, and we thought it was a pretty good email. So we decided to make a question of the week out of it. And you guys responded in spades. So I'm going to give the show to Jason and let him do his thing.
All right, I'm going to take over from here. So, yeah, as Chris mentioned, we have a lot of feedback. So let me start with some of that feedback. This one's from Lee Hazel, and he's actually right. he had to correct us because apparently we got a little wonky with his name. But he's like Lee Hazel, like Hazelnut, or people with the first name Hazel. But I forgive you for your amazing 24-hour charity work, turning your mind into mush. He's also from London, sir. England, and his PSN ID is Jackal. _ 666. It's actually spelled
J-A-C-K-L-E.
It's a jackal. It's a jackal.
Right.
It wasn't right the first time.
Anyway, hi, Indus Crew. Yes, games are definitely taking the role where they're trying to become more than just fun, especially since the beginning of this generation, where casual gamers are broadening the audience and have become so important. Since the debate started as to whether games are becoming more cinematic, the one complaint held by non-gamers, such as Roger Ebert, was that video games strive to be nothing other than enjoyable. Even though I don't know why the opinions of people who know nothing of our medium are so important, I do believe that we have to try and do more with the interactivity that defines the games we love. Having said that, however, we must never lose focus on gameplay. Thank you. It also has to come first. But is there any reason gameplay should only ever contribute to the fun players can have? That's the question, I think. All right, good shit, Mr. Hazel.
All right.
Do you appreciate it? We'll get your name right from here on out. Why is Roger Ebert commenting on video games? This
that
is not
a
his
good
bag.
Game question. I was going to ask that question, too. It really doesn't make sense. He's not... he doesn't... I mean, can he even handle a controller at his age? I mean, really.
Oh.
Sorry. I can't help
maybe
it.
Maybe if he was reviewing Uncharted 2.
Snap.
I'm not done yet. I got lots more. Speaking of which,
hey, nobody donated to make you play that game all the way through. I was surprised.
I was surprised, too. I would have done it. I pushed it the entire way through. I would have went Roger Ebert on its ass. All right. Should we go on to another email?
Sure. Let's do it.
Sweet. It's from Plank Fan. Hello, Indus. I'm writing to you in response to your question of the week. Single-player games focusing more on the experience and less on the fun? I'll try and keep this short and sweet. Yes, I do believe that games whose main component is single-player are placing more emphasis on the overall experience rather than good old fun. When you look at a game like Uncharted 2, usually hear gamers and reviewers talk about how the game was an amazing experience, in quotes, was rather than how much fun the game was. But when you look at games like Borderlands, it's all about the multiplayer fun. I never thought of Borderlands as being an experience. Rather, I just focus on the fun of killing shit with my friends. That's my opinion. True. Keep up the great work, Plank Fan.
Thanks, Plank Fan.
That is very true. Borderlands is definitely more about just having a good time and killing shit and grabbing loot and all that stuff. And there needs to be more games like that, I think. More mindless fun that is engaging enough to keep you playing. Mm-hmm. Where the gameplay is engaging enough to keep you playing, and you know you're not as wrapped up in the story and the characters and stuff like that. Where to the point where, you know, like Uncharted, that's what it was about more than anything. I think is the game, the story and the characters and the gameplay. Whereas unlike Jason, I think it's really good. I would say it was equal, if not a little bit less, than as important as the actual story and experience.
Anyone? Okay. Yeah. Differing opinions, sir.
On that. That's right.
No, he hit it right on the head as far as like Borderlands is concerned, because I mean, there's virtually no storyline, you know, in that game, and that's actually commendable. You know, I'm fine with that because they focus so much on the multiplayer gameplay aspect, and they made that so much fun.
Exactly.
I think, you know, when you're doing multiplayer stuff, and you try and cram a storyline into it, or you try and make people just do like co-op missions, like in like Gears of War or something like that, I think you lose some of the fun of it. But that's just my opinion.
I'll agree with that.
Anywho, Jeff, you got anything on that one?
No, you guys pretty much said what I would have said.
Summed up. All right, so cool. Next email. Hey, Indus, Necro here to comment on this week's question.
Necro?
I really don't understand the point to this question. I mean, can't we have both?
Yes.
Yeah, that wasn't the question, though. The question was, are they focusing too much on the overall package and not the fun or gameplay mechanics?
Right,
fun
right.
gameplay mechanics.
Yes, we can have both, but most developers aren't giving us both. That's kind of the point.
Yeah, or they're lacking in one area because of another.
Exactly.
Mostly gameplay because they want to focus too much on making a decent story or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, he actually elaborates a little bit, and he says, we have games that focus on the presentation over gameplay, like Uncharted 2, but the experience as a whole was a fun one. I can also have fun with games like Ninja Gaiden or Demon's Souls that focus on the combat or gameplay. I don't understand why both can't be fun. And personally, I thought Uncharted 2 was fun to play because Naughty Dog's credit, there were quite a few parts in Uncharted 2 that they could have made cutscenes or less interactive QTEs or something. Anyways, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Necro.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Necro.
I really don't want to turn this into an Uncharted back and forth debate.
I know, but it's such a good example, though, I think.
Well,
I think Metal Gear Solid is a better example.
I think Metal Gear Solid is a better example as well, because whereas the gameplay in Metal Gear Solid was really good, I do think that there was much more focus on the actual storyline and presentation and the overall experience. I don't think the focus itself was put on all the gameplay.
It's at least, especially not up until 4 anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't know if I understood you correctly. Were you saying...
I'm just saying it's better because, like, Uncharted, as much as you didn't like the gameplay of it, I think overall that has more gameplay and more, like, tighter control-wise in regards to gameplay compared to the Metal Gear Solid games, at least up until 4, where the controls were not broken but clumsy as hell and they didn't really put too much focus into them. There's way too much you had to pay attention to. It's kind of clunky.
Wow.
I mean, wow, you disagree with that?
Yeah, wholeheartedly, absolutely.
Then why would they revamp the entire control scheme for 4?
Why did they have to redo the control scheme?
Yeah,
for
why
4?
Would they redo it and fix it all
I guess they didn't
think it's broken?
Just because there was more of a I mean, granted they did change the control scheme around. I'm not really talking about the controls. I'm talking about the gameplay aspects. Like, it offered a whole lot more than Uncharted 2.
Think so?
Definitely. Absolutely. I mean, the stealth elements were actually well done, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the gunplay was, you know, more than adequate. And aside from that, you know, the collectibles actually did shit for you. I don't know. Overall, a hell of a larger and deeper experience as far as gameplay was concerned in Metal Gear Solid.
I guess, 4. But at the same time, it's about 2.5 hours of gameplay versus literally about 12 hours of cutscenes.
Yeah.
That's not even, like, going overboard. That's pretty.
Beat the game in what, 3 hours? I think they said something like that. If you were to skip all the cutscenes and run right through it, and you knew where everything was,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, it's. I think that more so than Uncharted, I think that Metal Gear is more about the experience than it is about the fun. The game is still a lot of fun, but I think it is more about actually involving you in that story and telling that story.
Mm. Okay. Well, this is probably my last episode of Indus, then.
Just because you hate Uncharted doesn't mean that it is a bad game. because we say that it's more about the experience doesn't mean that Metal Gear Solid is a bad game.
Okay. All right. I don't know where you guys came up with the Uncharted 2 had a lot of good gameplay, but...
I didn't mind it.
Okay, here's the deal. If you play Gears of War on a regular basis, you would hate that shit too, because it plays pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah.
So don't play Gears of War.
Okay.
Done. All right? You obviously don't like that kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to move on with another email. This one's from MC Wilson. Gentlemen, today you've asked whether or not there really exists a current trend in which production value comes at the expense of fun. Unfortunately, the answer is yes. Let's consider the example of Metal Gear Solid 4. As much as I enjoyed the first two stages, as the game became more focused on its narrative, it became less enjoyable. The Metal Gear Solid for the PS1 days did not have this problem, despite being a very story-driven game in its own right. Why is this? I believe that the answer lies in high expectations. Fun games have existed for centuries, as we see with the sports ball variants that continue to entertain us today, and the ongoing success of retro remakes and compilations prove that even the oldest gamers are even the oldest games are still very enjoyable. Yet those of us who have played games all their lives continue to demand new experiences. We ask for developers to show us things that we've never seen. We ask to be amazed at every turn. These developers do their best to push the envelope, but on today's modern consoles, pushing the envelope is an unbelievably expensive proposition. For example, consider the aforementioned Metal Gear Solid. In total, less than 100 people worked on the original PS1 game. That includes artists, modelers, programmers, writers, package designers, translators, voice actors, everyone. They created that game in 2 years. Compare that with Metal Gear Solid 4. By the end of its 3-year development, over 200 people were working on it at Kojima Productions alone.
Wow, I had no idea.
That doesn't include any of the localization personnel or any of the outsourced firms employed by Konami during the game's development. And while the game's budget numbers aren't public, one of the lead developers did say that in order to recoup its development costs, Metal Gear Solid 4 would need to sell 1 million copies on its first day. Retailers sold the game for $60, but if we assume that the cost to retailers was $40 per unit, then we can estimate that the budget for Metal Gear Solid 4 at somewhere at around $40 million. The result of all this money and manpower was a gorgeous game that was nevertheless shorter than the original, with a poorer balance of cinematics and gameplay. To say that we're getting amazing production volumes at the expense of fun is an oversimplification. We're losing more fun in the process. Week after week, we see more developers being crushed under the weight of the demands of the modern gamer. Some of these games could have been successful if they had ever reached store shelves. Instead, they're lost to us. This is yet another reason to champion games like Torchlight. Its developer, Runic Games, created the game in less than a year with a team of 17 people using a freely available open-source game engine. Although not the most graphically intense game available this holiday season, Torchlight nevertheless looks good, and more importantly, it's fun. So fun, in fact, that it's the game that absorbs most of my time while Uncharted 2 and Dragon Age and languish on the coffee table. The savings and development costs result in a great game that's only $20. And yet, because Runic's staff is smaller, because they can crank out games like this in less than a year, Torchlight doesn't need to sell 1 million copies in order to be a success. When a game that I love succeeds, that means I get more games I'm going to love. And ultimately, that matters far more to me than graphical fidelity. Best MC.
Thanks, MC.
That was an awesome email. I know, no shit. Yeah, that was seriously an awesome, awesome email. And it's like, I don't even know what to say about that email, except for I wholeheartedly agree. You know, it's he covered everything pretty much. And it's like, it does seem like a lot of the sequels that we're seeing are reducing the amounts of gameplay. And I mean, even Jeff said it earlier. He said that you know, Call of Duty is actually, Modern Warfare 2 is actually shorter than the first Modern Warfare, which was only like 5 hours in the first place.
To begin with, right.
Pretty much.
And they're focusing on, but like the opposite there is that they're focusing on, I think, multiplayer more than anything.
Modern Warfare 4 was a little bit more difficult. So it might have been artificially longer just because it was a bit harder.
I see. Okay.
So it might, like, I don't know, like, if you were to go through the whole thing without dying, if it's any longer or shorter, but either way, it's just shorter in the end.
Gotcha. But yeah, I mean, I really think that's a very good point, and Torchlight's a very good example of, you know, a game that is all about people getting together, like a small group of people getting together and making a game that is solid and is on, you know, it's on an engine that's already been established. And
I don't know if Torchlight's the greatest example of that, because, I mean, yes, they're using like an open source engine, you know, so that was built for them, that was ready for them. The development team, you know, is very familiar with this type of game. So, like I've said a million times, a lot of it was carried over from other games.
What's it called?
I mean, a lot of the art assets and stuff are new, but, you know, and they haven't done anything new to this particular game, you know, outside of what's been done already. So,
that's the point, though, isn't it? Isn't that the point? They're not focusing on that stuff because it's already out there. They can use it. It's all about the fun when it comes to Torchlight.
Yeah, yeah. I will agree with that. So,
that's a great example.
MC also brought up like expectations of games, and I think that kind of is not only expectations by like the general public, and they want something new, something like big, bright, and fancy and good looking or whatever. I think also reviewers put pressure on developers as well, because a lot of times now you'll see games where it'll be like, oh, the game is really fun to play and a blast, but we had to take off some points because the story makes no sense. There's hardly any story. Yeah, yeah. Well, like Ninja Gaiden 2, like the Ninja Gaiden series or Borderlands or whatnot. Like, I would say almost all of them reviews mentioned, oh, there's not too much of a story for single player, so that's kind of like a negative. But who cares? Like,
yeah.
Games never, like back in the day in the 16-bit era, like story-wise and presentation were basically like the last things that developers would think to put in there unless it was an RPG. And then they just kind of build it around. Now it's like
that's expected. A very good point. That's a very good point. And another example that I was going to use is the Final Fantasy series in general. I mean, look how much they've shifted into making it this giant, this, like, epic feature thing. I mean, it's like every Final Fantasy is like 60, 80 hours now. And, you know, it's all about cutscenes and go ahead.
Yeah. Did you watch the launch or the release video?
I haven't yet. No.
It's the most pretentious thing I've ever seen in my life. You guys should watch it. It's on Xbox Live, or you can just go to like YouTube or something to watch it. But yeah, it's
why? What is it?
It just, they don't really mention the gameplay at all. They're just talking about how they hired some, I can't remember her name, some girl who's nominated for like a Grammy or something to do the theme song for it, and how it's like the most anticipated game ever.
Ooh,
and they basically go on about how what Final Fantasy is. They don't really talk about the game per se. And they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you want someone to hear a release date? Like, oh yeah, it's coming out March 2010 or whatever. Which I could have thrown in news, but I totally forgot about it.
Oops.
But I mean, on that example, I mean, if you ask most like diehard Final Fantasy people, I mean, what are they going to say is their favorite one? Chances
seven,
are they're going to say
probably.
Six or seven, one of those two.
But the new generation kids are all about, you know, the
seven.
Newer ones. So
not even
seven. I mean,
they go to ten.
Ten
is the big one for them.
Well, because, I mean, look, put it on the map. It's a cinematic. Like, 7 had all those cinematics, and that would make people who weren't really into RPGs play an RPG for the first time. Because they're like, oh, look, pretty cinematics. Look on my PS1. That looks awesome. And, oh, what kind of game? Oh, this is a weird kind of game, but I guess I'll play through it. And, oh, wow, it's pretty good. So they expect more of that every couple years, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, they've always been, you know, focused on the story and how the story plays out and how it works. But, you know, when you were looking at like the NES and Super NES days, it was all about displaying that story and then the gameplay and how they, you know, like what different type of magic system are we going to do this time? You know, we have Espers and then the Materia and 7 and all that kind of stuff. And now it's. You know, like, especially with 12. 12 was something, it was a game that I thought was presented, it was presented really well, but it's like, you know, the whole grid-based system was dumb, and I thought that, like, the macro system that they set up, or I forgot what they actually call it in 12, but...
The gambits?
The gambit system, it basically made it so the game played itself. It's like, how is that fun?
It kind of did, but at the same time, you had to be pretty strategic in how you set them up. So it was, and I guess the way the battle system was, it made sense to do that, to do it automatically, because it would be kind of boring to, because like I tried playing it where you just kind of don't do the games, you just kind of go through and give all the party members individual commands, and it just didn't really seem to work as well. But I don't know, I didn't even come close to being Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah,
so.
and that's the thing, Final Fantasy XII was all about the experience. It just didn't, you know, when I played it, it didn't feel like a Final Fantasy game anymore. I lost interest, you know, I put, you know, 15, 20 hours into this game, and it's like there was nothing there that grabbed me to say, oh, I need to keep playing. You know, I mean, granted, I did put a lot of time into it already, but that was more of a you know, it just felt like more determination. Like, I have to give this game more of a chance. Like, there's got to be more, and there just never was.
Because it's Final Fantasy, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
There was too much of a separation between, you know, the cutscenes, you know, the experience part of it, and the actual, you know, gameplay. You know, a lot of the gameplay is, you know, it's focused on grinding, and a lot of times it's not really fun, so.
Right.
It's going to boil down to whether or not, you know, you're really into the cutscenes or not, you know, to be able to...
I actually really liked them in Final Fantasy, to tell you the truth, but I liked them.
I'm kind of looking forward to the new one. For sure.
13 looks like it's very much a throwback to what Final Fantasy was, and
it looks like a mix of like 7 and 12 to me, like in terms of the art style. But I don't know. I'm not a really big Final Fantasy person, but I will buy it. I'll play 15 to 20 hours of it, and probably that's about it. Like, I do a lot of fantasies.
Yeah.
But whatever.
All right.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I guess my main point is that they got to find a way to strike that balance, you know, because it's so polarized in the Final Fantasy games. So, and yeah, they don't strike that balance well enough for me. But anyway, cool. Let's move on. I got a voicemail here.
All right.
Let's do it.
That mofo.
Hey, it's Brian / Taryn / Captain Puppy / Hiroshi.
Pick one.
Calling in to answer your question of the week.
Which one is it?
Jesus. I have to say that lately the big blockbuster hyped single player games are focusing more on the experience than fun. There are exceptions, though. I think you'll find them in indie games. Since these small game companies don't have the budget to blow your minds, they have to focus on gameplay and the fun factor in order to make their game stand out. You think of stuff like Castle Crashers, Braid, and Geometry Wars. I can honestly say the most fun I've had playing a single-player game in the last year or so would probably be Tales of Monkey Island. Now, when game companies successfully marry experience with fun, you get amazing titles. Most people would agree that Metal Gear Solid is probably the greatest game for the original PlayStation, and it successfully combined experience and fun. The same can be said for the God of War series on PlayStation 2. So the drive to put more games like these, which have sold well and gained a fantastic following, is definitely there. So much so that in the process of trying to reach that grand epic stage, the importance of fun can fall to the wayside.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents on the matter, and I'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Later, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. He brings up a good, something I've said a lot in the past when I compare Ninja Gaiden to like the God of War.
I knew this was going to come up.
I prefer Ninja Gaiden's combat 100%. I think it's way more, it's a better experience overall. It's way more rewarding, I think, when you fight Ninja Gaiden. But that's not saying that the combat in God of War is bad. It's actually, I think it's really, really good. But because God of War throws in the storyline and does it really well and presents it really well, then overall, it's a better game. Like, that stuff adds to the overall experience, but at the same time, it doesn't take away from the fun. Whereas that's why I would rate a God of War higher than Ninja Gaiden, but if Ninja Gaiden were to get that kind of story and presentation and make sense, then I think it would put it on a totally different level. But that's, yeah, I think God of War is a great example of they kind of get it perfect. They marry the whole presentation, story, and experience with the fun of the gameplay, and neither of them bring down the other, in my opinion, anyway.
I would totally agree with that. I mean, everyone who's been listening to this show on a regular basis know that Jeff and I both are huge God of War fans, and that's exactly the entire point. I mean, no one's going to argue that the gameplay in Ninja Gaiden is much deeper, and you know, it's more complicated. But at the same time, God of War is still very competent on that level. And then when you throw in this, the epic scale that they make with the presentation and the story and the way they do everything, it just makes it. Overall, it's a great experience that is just a lot of fun to play. And, you know, anybody who's played God of War, I mean, you can't tell me that when you bring down one of those big bosses, it's not a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So like, it definitely adds to it. And I mean, I was kind of hypocritical saying like, well, Ninja Gaiden's Awesome Game is fun. That should be the most important thing. And gameplay is the most important thing. But when you add all the other little cherries on top to make it taste that much better, it becomes expected, and it does make the overall experience better. I mean, hey, Jason saw 2012 or whatever. It has great special effects, but imagine if that great special effects movie had a decent script.
Yeah,
then it would be that much better.
Yeah. God, that was a really shitty movie.
The truth comes out. You never actually said it earlier.
I know. I thought it was implied, but...
Oh, yeah. It was
very much implied.
Yeah. I want to see that movie on, like, Blu-ray. Or whatever, and just watch it, you know, just because there was some amazing shit going on there.
Brain.
But oh my god, the script and everything, I mean, we were heckling the movie towards the end, you know, and it was so like formulaic. It's like, oh,
that made a
now?
Crap load of money, too, like $225 million or something like that.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and I feel like I wasted my $3.50 to go see it. But it was fun to watch.
Hey, you didn't waste your $3.50. $3.50 was worth it just to go there and hang out and grill and chill out with everybody.
Oh, I know.
You
know?
I'm so jealous that I didn't get to go that, you know, it's like I would have.
Was it a drive-thru or drive-in?
Yeah,
it was a drive-in. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's the way to do it. Anywho, next email.
Right,
Sangrita
cool.
here with my thoughts on your question of the week. I would have to say yes. Single-player games are focusing more on the experience and less on the fun. I think the main reason they are starting to do this is because they need to stand out from the multiplayer offerings out there. Most multiplayer games, when they're working correctly, are a lot of fun, whether you're playing some serious game sessions with friends or the casual game with some randoms. I think this is because of the boom of online gaming, and to a greater extent, the ability to play online from your couch and not having to be crouched over your computer desk. So the single-player games need an edge. They need to pull in the gamer with the flashy explosions, excellent story, and solid voice acting. If a single-player game is weak on the experience, the game usually doesn't review well. Not to mention it gets marked down for not having a multiplayer component. Unfortunately, excluding Uncharted Drake's Fortune, I can't think of a solely single-player game that I've gotten into lately. So I can't really give examples, but the Uncharted's overall gameplay is a pain, but the game looks pretty example will have to do. Even though I'm sure you will be hearing a lot during this feature. Well, that's about it. Again, thanks again for the great show. If you keep making them, I'll keep listening.
Same hey, thanks.
Thanks, man. All right.
I don't want to hit on Uncharted again, but I did want to mention this. He mentions that the whole thing about not having multiplayer, and if you don't have multiplayer, it's more important to have that large scale experience. And I kind of agree with that. God of War is a good example, and I'm going to use another example, which is Heavenly Sword, which is, you know, it is a God of War clone for the most, Goddess of War, pretty much. And that, it's a 6 hour game. Okay. It's 5 to 6 hours. It's really not a long game. The game could be played. Yeah. It is being generous. 5 hours is, it's pretty easy to get through that game in about 5 hours. The gameplay, it's one of those things where it's really solid and it can be pretty deep if you want it to be, but most people are just going to mash buttons and go through it. And right. You can get through it that way, you know, but it's presented in such a way that people appreciate that experience. And that's why it rated as high as it did. I mean, did it get anywhere near God of War? No, of course not. But it did rate, I mean, like GameSpot, who's usually pretty harsh, gave it like an 8 or something. And I think that's pretty high considering it's a, you know, it's a 5-6 hour game and has no multiplayer.
Well, they throw their money towards the actors and make that technology of basically acting out.
They
show that in all that behind the scenes and everything. It's like, hey, guys, that's great. But all the best parts of this game is taking part when you're not playing it.
Right. And that's exactly the point. It's all about the experience when it comes to a game like that.
Yep.
I don't like that pretty much right now.
You don't like that?
How can you give shit to Heavenly Sword for providing that kind of experience when I think Uncharted 2 is the same exact thing? You know, there's nothing tight or good or great about the controls or the platforming or the puzzles. All that shit is shallow.
But I'm not bashing Heavenly Sword. Actually really like Heavenly Sword.
Definitely not bashing.
Like Uncharted 2. I'm just saying the best, like, the part where all the money went into is clearly in the cutscenes and presentation of the story.
Right, and that's the same thing with Uncharted 2. You know, all the money went into the voice acting and to, you know, the, I'm using cutscenes in quotes, but, you know, all the aesthetic elements.
I'm not saying they're not different. I'm not saying one game is bad, one game's good. I like both
they're
games.
Both great games.
And, so I don't
but
see
the,
why
the thing is that you have an issue with the gameplay,
right?
And we don't.
Okay,
that's what it boils down to.
Granted,
there are some quirks to the gameplay, but overall, it is solid, and it feels just like God of War. It's like when I was playing multiplayer the other day, I felt right at home playing multiplayer when we were doing Extra Life, and I was actually doing pretty well. If you played that game through single player, you could go in and you can do pretty well. Playing multiplayer, and I didn't have any of these gameplay issues when we were playing multiplayer. It was very solid, very smooth, and I loved it.
Okay,
and so and I agree. The best parts of Uncharted are definitely the presentation and stuff. But
yeah, absolutely,
just the best parts are the presentation. So that's why I compared the two, or we can compare the two. But I feel the same about both. I love both games, but I'm not hiding the fact that clearly most of the time we need the presentation on both.
Okay, all right. Next email. Who the hell is this from? Something funny, Chris?
Yes. I'm just like, by the end of this, you're going to want to kill us both.
Pretty much. Or divorce you or something.
Hey,
send your applications for hosts on the show to... Totally kidding.
All right, so this is from Hermes from Uruguay, once again.
All right.
Hello, Indus. Once again, sorry about my English. I think it's just fine, by the way. About the question of the week, I do think games are focusing more on the experience than before, but that doesn't necessarily equal less fun. I have 3 points to explain here. Number one, game consoles in the past simply didn't have the power to render something like an experience to the players. Games in the Atari era were either too simple or almost incomprehensible about their premise just from the game experience alone. Pong was one square bouncing between two squares, and up till now, I still have doubts whether Custer was dodging arrows of raindrops. You guys know what he's talking about? Anyway, you had to see the cover of the manual of the game, and even in the 8-bit and 16-bit era, you have to see JRPGs over-elaborated concept art to realize the experience you were having, and maybe a little off with the idea the designer and artist were expecting you to have. That and bad translation adds a lot of confusion to issues like the sex of some RPG characters. That's a good point. The first time I remember with cutscenes was Ninja Gaiden on the NES, and that was hardly the standard. Point number two, it's also a proof of the maturity of the medium and the audience, when the gamer's age was 9 to 12 years on average. Games were perfectly fine with just being an expensive toy, a way to kill time. Now the average age is much higher, and the audience often asks for more in their games. More epicness, better graphics and music, better story and characters, etc. Although I'm not saying that the best modern games are strong on those points, it is true that gamers pay a lot more attention to them than in the past. This is related to the game as an art form idea, on which I will not expand, simply say that games have being at a point where we can discuss the possibility with a straight face for several years now. Which not many people subscribe. Yet you can see the evolution on iterations of series that have been going for some time now, like Final Fantasy 1 to Final Fantasy 7 or 12. There's a difference in tone that goes beyond the technical differences. And point number three, last but not least, there's the issue of the nostalgia. Did games actually move away from being fun? Or is it me that finally remember childhood experiences being more fun than now? That is an important issue when discussing the decades worth of games. After all, I started gaming when I was a kid with the Atari, and while I remember having fun with games that aged pretty well, like Pac-Man and Tetris, I also remember enjoying games that weren't very good, but I didn't realize until much later. When you're a kid, your expectations for a lot of stuff are much more relaxed, so you can have fun with some things and honestly expect nothing more. As an adult, I grow more demanding, some even say more cynic, of the things I invest time in. Although I don't really know you three, I can estimate you are on a similar position, which is a weird position to be. We grew up on games, so we didn't learn the history of gaming. We lived it. Because of that, we need to be extra careful not to fall into the grouchy old man stereotype on gaming.
Like that's Jason, kind of that's true. Yeah. Like Jason.
No, you didn't say that. I said that. Although I believe the fun factor is not to be taken out of the equation. Games now have a better chance of creating an experience than before. And in many cases, they're using it, which I consider to be a good thing. It's not about games being less fun now, but also leaving deeper, broader experiences. After all, it is kind of hard to justify to yourself a hobby in which you can put tens of hours a week and you get nothing out of it. Regards, Hermes, Uruguay.
Thank you, Hermes. That was a really good email, too.
I agree.
Can we kind of focus in on his third point about the idea of games being more fun than they are now? He's absolutely right, and I'm going to use an example right now, because when I was a kid, I thought Adventure on the 2600 was fun as hell.
The shit.
And it's horrible. It is a ridiculously bad game. And it's
dude,
like
I loved Pit Fighter.
Yeah.
Double Dragon.
Yeah. And it's like I kept trying to, like, I remember, like, especially with the 2600 games, and like back then, you would try and rationalize that you were having fun with games, even though you weren't. Like E.T., for instance. Fucking worst game in the history of games, but you got to think it's fun because hey, I got it. You know, there's so many that you can go.
We didn't have so many voices and people telling us what games we should and shouldn't play back then, like we do now. Like the internet being like, this game is fun, this game is not fun. Like back then, you just basically rented a game, checked out a game, and then if you had fun, you knew like right away or not, and It wasn't like you didn't have any kind of preconceived or kind of like biased opinion going in on the game because you read somewhere that the game's supposed to be good or supposed to be bad.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's every game you have to have, you hear like a 36 opinions on it before you even get your hands on it.
Yeah.
Which is sad, definitely.
Yeah,
it is. For sure. It is. That's true.
But that's a very good point. Because fun is, you know, such just a relative thing, you know? I mean, some people can have fun just watching cinematic cutscenes and JRPGs and,
yeah,
you know, and simple combat. Or, I mean, I have a lot of fun playing, like, point-click adventure games, and you know what? There's no fucking gameplay associated with that other than,
that's,
you know, really
true,
frustrating.
Yeah.
Point-click,
like,
point-click,
you know, just frustratingly trying
those
to
are all about Those are all about the experience, you know?
Exactly, there's, yeah. So
the gameplay isn't really, it takes a back seat, you know? It's all about figuring out the puzzles that you have to figure out
and that's where the fun
and the
comes
story
in.
Itself. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, like Longest Journey, we talked about that, so yeah.
Yeah. All right, so last email that I have here. Who's it from? Mr. Nep.
All right.
Mr. Neps.
Holy shit. Heyo, Indus. This is Mr. Nep from VG Evo. Leaving
Heyo.
You my thoughts on the question of the week. I figured since you guys took the time to clarify my confusion on the question, that I should take the time to answer it. At first, I was confused since I thought gameplay and an experience were hand in hand. You play a game, and obviously you're experiencing it. Of course, now I think I know what you guys were getting at. So, flat out, for a game to thrive and be well-received in this generation, I think it has to have both. Regardless of what I think developers focus on, graphics, cinematics, and presentation, a whole lot, and sometimes leave gameplay to the wayside. Any movie-based game will always try to make the characters look like their real-life counterpart.
Yeah.
They usually aim for recreating scenarios and locations from the movie and make gameplay a minimal effort. The latest one I played was Terminator Salvation, and fuck that game. If you were wondering, no, I didn't even bother platinuming it.
Wow, that seems like the go-to game for that.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's all I have to say. Later, guys. Mr. Nep. Ow.
Thanks, Nep.
Oh, man. Movie games are such a good example because they do so much work trying to make the game like the movie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It always sucks. It's like... Yeah. Oh,
it never translates well.
Yeah, and if they can't get the original actors to do the voices, they get people to try to imitate the original actor's voice.
And it always sounds bad.
Yeah.
Man, that's such a good example. I didn't even think about that. Thank you, Mr. Knapp. That's a great example.
Movie-based games. Yeah, that fits in a nutshell. Yeah, a lot of those things just don't translate well to like a gameplay experience as far as like pacing is concerned and all that. But
because you're trying to take this movie that was like hour and a half, 2 hours, and we've covered this on another show, and then you're trying to span it over this X amount of hour game, you know? It's like, nobody wants to buy a game that's 2 hours long, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, that's such a good example.
I agree. Well, guys, I'm out of stuff.
All right. Well, what's our final verdict here? Like, do we think it's good? Do we think it's happening? What's going on? I guess we all think that, yeah, they are putting too much emphasis on the overall experience. Is that kind of...
I'm gonna kind of... think of this in a different way. I don't think that they're putting too much emphasis on it, on the experience. I just think that's the way games are moving. I think that's the way they're shifting. It's that whole game is an art form thing. It's just that the problem is that a lot of them are focusing way too much on the experience and not enough of the gameplay. If you're going to put much into the experience, then you need to make sure that the gameplay is engaging enough to keep us around, you know, if we didn't have that experience.
Well,
you know,
yeah, agreed.
If I wanted to skip
playing
the
Brutal Legend,
I should still want to play the game, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, I'd still be playing Brutal Legend right now if it wasn't for the fact that I can't get into the gameplay, and to me it's just not that fun. But everything else is so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's not enough to keep you going.
Not enough to keep me going, whereas gameplay
will still
going
to go back to it. I'm still going to go back to it and try and drudge through it, and maybe it'll have some redeeming quality somewhere, but we'll see.
Well, it's probably no surprise. I think that a lot of games nowadays are focusing way too much, you know, on the overall, well, not the overall, just, you know, the cinematic experience, I guess, you know? They're trying to get impressions that way. And, gameplay is definitely falling by the wayside. It's not true all across the board by any means.
No,
you know. Yeah. And like I mentioned before, I don't want to sound hypocritical in that I like, you know, games that may not necessarily have a lot of gameplay but provide a good experience, you know. And I'm bringing up Uncharted 2. The game to me was presented like an action game, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what I was definitely expecting, you know, and that's what they kind of shoehorned in there is, you know, action and the platforming and the puzzles and stuff. But to me, it never, you know, came out right. So that's why I was, you know, so disappointed with that as an overall experience. You know, whereas, you know, other point click adventure games, you know, I don't give too much about the gameplay itself. You know, that I want a strong focus on the storyline elements, you know, mm-hmm. I want that kind of experience. So if they're clearly separated as such, you know, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine having, you know, that great experience, that huge cinematic sweeping adventure. You know, but as far as my action games are concerned, I want the gameplay focused on that. So there's room for both, but it's really, 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 really tough to blend both of those. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have that huge experience and the great gameplay. So
I agree.
At this point, I'm just like, fuck it, just separate that shit, okay? Don't try and blend them right now unless you can do it right.
I agree.
There's my little soapbox rant.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Gameplay is still number one for me, and I wish that they'd spend, at least some of them, the bigger titles, that spend more time on the actual gameplay and not worry too much about the presentation. But at the same time, I love the stuff they're doing with the presentation to make the overall experience better, so I don't want to see it go away.
Yeah, and that's really the thing. And someone mentioned it. It's all about, you know, a lot of the gamers out there are asking for this kind of experience, and they're you know, a lot of developers are doing the best they can to give it to them.
Yep.
So
true that.
Awesome. Thank you guys for all the
2 point and click emails.
That was awesome.
I'm gonna be all over that.
Heavy Rain Uncharted Edition.
Day one. Yeah, I'm really excited for Heavy Rain too, because I mean they're not
that
really
seems right up your alley.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for that. I will enjoy the hell out of that experience, I'm sure.
Because I really feel like Heavy Rain is like the evolution of the point-and-click adventure. It really feels that way. It's like the console version of the point-and-click adventure, you know? Seems that way.
And before you totally give up on Uncharted, Jason, you got to try something that myself, Nico, Project, and Kill9 did in Uncharted 2 for about, I think it was about 20 minutes straight. On the night before Extra Life, so Friday, we just went in there and we just started base jumping. And like we did a co-op and we found a really tall building and we just kept jumping off it and dying. And for some reason, we couldn't stop laughing for about a while. Because it's like, it started off like someone was down at the bottom. We had to get down there fast. So I jumped. And right before you hit the ground, the characters yell, like they jump and all of a sudden they go, and it just stops because they're dead. So it ended up just being funny. So we started like jumping off in pairs and all three of us jumping off at the same time and seeing if we can jump on each other. And I don't know. It was funny at the time. Beer was involved. So that might be why.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there alcohol involved in something?
That's funny.
A little bit, not too much. But
it's
it was
like little
fun.
Kids playing with cardboard boxes more than the actual toy.
Exactly.
You're making your own fun. I like that.
Oh,
hopefully
shit.
That's worth the $60 then. Sorry. I'm done.
All right. Let's do some new releases.
All right, cool.
We have something from Repeat.
We do indeed. You want to hear it?
Absolutely. Let's hear it.
Well, it doesn't look like there's much original and interesting coming out this week. It's definitely a good week of sequels. So we've got Assassin's Creed 2,
mm-hmm.
Left 4 Dead 2,
mm-hmm.
The Dark Side Chronicles, which is the second of the Resident Evil light gun games for the Wii.
Two.
And the first one was great. So this one's probably good as well.
Yeah, I like the first one.
And, of course, the game that, you know, you guys are really going to like, or at least Jeff, because he's got some sort of a hard-on for a guy in a loincloth. Yeah, God of War Collection, which is games together. There's also Assassin's Creed on the PSP is coming out as well, which may be interesting. It's got some sort of link-up with the PS3 version of Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not really worth digging into, but yeah, you never know. So, yeah, not that much, but a lot of sequels, I suppose.
Repeat's very enthusiastic this week. Thanks, man.
I know.
It's just like sequels, whatever.
Who gives a
shit? I don't blame him.
All right. Good stuff. All right. Let me fill in the gaps here. We got NCAA Basketball 2010. This is for PS3. Seen It, Bright Lights, Big Screen. Lego Indiana Jones 2, The Adventure Continues. Tony Hawk, Overpriced Extra Peripheral Edition.
And that's coming out next week?
Yeah, Tony Hawk Ride comes out. For PSP, Lego Indiana Jones 2, F1 2009, and Little Big Planet. I'm actually surprised that Repeat didn't mention that. Interesting.
No fucking multiplayer. Who gives a shit?
I know. Oh, I'm so pissed about that. And everybody's rating it so high. It's like everyone thinks
floaty,
it's so
no
good.
Fun controls. Who gives a shit?
I'm sorry. I think you guys were a little too hard on the controls. Anyway. NCAA.
That's your opinion, Jeff.
Doesn't matter. I'm sorry, but I liked the controls on
Like I said, I respect the game. I understand why people would like it. I just don't like it.
Just like Jason doesn't like Uncharted.
Exactly.
360, NCAA Basketball 2010, Seen It Bright Lights Big Screen, Lego Indiana Jones 2, Tony Hawk Ride, Planet 51. And then what was mentioned by Refeat, which is Left 4 Dead Too Soon, and Assassin's Creed 2. Let's see. For the Wii, Lego Indiana Jones 2, F1 2009, Tony Hawk Ride, Just Dance, Seen It, Area 51, Planet 51, sorry, not Area 51. EA Sports Active, More Workouts, and Naruto Shippuden, which I think I've mentioned before. I'm going to stop mentioning that. So that's not really coming out because apparently it's never going to come out.
Hiya.
Okay, for the DS, My Hero Doctor. Awesome. Wow. Indiana Jones 2, Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery. So there's an Assassin's Creed coming out for DS as well. And Planet 51. And finally, on PC, The Sims 3 World Adventures, Elven Legacy, Lego Indiana Jones 2, Left 4 Dead Too Soon, Hidden Secrets The Nightmare, and King's Bounty
Left
Armored
Princess. Left 4 Dead Too Soon, did you say?
Left 4 Dead Too Soon. And that is your new release list. So, pick of the week! Mine's obvious. Jeff's
is
obvious.
Mine's obvious. I'm going to go with the God of War collection just because I didn't play the first two all the way through. This might be the ultimate experience for me. The ultimate single player experience.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going with God of War as well. I forgot to mention, actually, I did play a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2 last week, and it does seem like a pretty big step up from the first one. So okay. I am going to wait for reviews on that one though, cause the first one kind of suckered me.
Yeah. But same here. I mean, the reviews that are coming back right now that I've seen so far are pretty good. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It looks like they added a lot to the gameplay. But I'm still going with God of War collection.
Oh, yeah. God of War is day one.
I played through both games once already. Going to play through them both again once I get my copy in. And, unanimous God of War collection for the win. All right.
Indus said so.
That's right. Jason, do we have any emails?
Emails.
We do. I don't even know what to start with. You know what? Just to shake it up, I want to start with random questions.
All right.
Ready?
Shaking it up.
And now it's time for another edition of Random Questions from Aces High.
All right, guys. This week I slacked a little bit, and I got one of my questions from the newest Four Guys One Up podcast. That question is the strangest place you have ever found your keys. My second question is, if you own a pair of pajama pants, what's on them? And the last question is, if you've seen all three of the Evil Dead movies, which is 1, 2, and Army of Darkness, which one is your favorite and why?
That's a good question. All of them were. Strangest
place I found with keys.
Yeah. Wow, I have no idea.
I found mine in the garbage before.
Wow, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. There was one day that I swear to God, I was like an hour late for work because I could not find my keys anywhere. And I had tore the house apart. I couldn't get a hold of Lisa. I had no idea where they could be. And they were under, what the hell? It was like the empty bread wrapper on the counter.
Weird.
Just something ridiculous and stupid. And I tore the house apart. I had no idea. But I lose my keys all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
My friend does that too. I'm not really a person who loses keys. I did have a moment. It's more like not a strange place I found them, but more of a ridiculous, I'm stupid place. Is I was looking everywhere in the apartment one day for my keys because I could have sworn I put them on the table. And I looked everywhere and everywhere and everywhere. And the one place I didn't look was my pocket. And that's where they were for some reason. Cause I know I put them on the table. Where the hell are they? I'm looking through all my other like jeans that are like in drawers and stuff, my jacket pockets, but I never checked the pockets at the jeans I was wearing, which they were right there. Shit.
Yeah, I did that with my cigarettes today, actually. It turned up being in the last pocket that I checked. You know, I've got, like, cargo pants on, and I got a jacket, so I'm, like, side to side, back to back, you know, front to front, you know, then the inside, and then I finally get outside, and I'm like, oh, the one last pocket that I failed to check. There they were.
I don't really have a strange place where I've left my keys, but I will say that I have left my keys locked in the car, in the ignition, while the car was running.
Oh, I've done that. That sucks.
Because it's awesome. And it wasn't even a situation where I accidentally locked the door. It was a situation where I pulled into this place. And I sat in the car for like 2 or 3 seconds listening to something on the radio, got out of the car, locked the door, and went into the place. It's like I didn't even lock the door by mistake. I locked it and just forgot that my car was on. It was just ridiculous. So, man. And after $120 later, when they came to, when the locksmith came to get it out, I started doing roadside assistance so I could get that shit done for free. And wouldn't you know, it hasn't happened to me since.
All right, so pajama pants. I think we know.
I think we know what mine is. Yeah,
I had but you're gonna say it anyway.
Pants. Oh yeah, I got the Xbox 360 pants. Pajama pants.
Hot.
They're still going strong.
There's a great picture out there on the internet with Jeff and Terry both sporting their Xbox 360 pajama pants.
Rocking it hard. I love
that. It's awesome. I love that picture, dude.
I don't really own any. Actually, no, I do own one pair of pajama pants that my mother-in-law got me for Christmas one year, just for the hell of it. Now, they're red, and they have penguins, and I think snowflakes. Yeah, and I don't even think I wore them that night. But yeah, I'm not a pajama kind of guy. I like it all natural, if you know what I mean.
All right, well.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a pair. I like to wear them in the winter because usually I'll walk around in shorts, but in the winter when it's kind of cold, I'll walk around in PJ pants. But the only pair I have is just, it's just plaid. It's not, it's kind of boring. You know, my ex-girlfriend got them for me. Yeah, I know. I kind of suck. I'm boring.
No, you should get some cool pajama pants, Chris. That would make you infinitely cooler.
I'll look into that.
All right, please do.
All right, so, Evil Dead movies. What do we got?
Jeff?
Evil Dead 2.
Why?
Because it's the only one I've seen.
All right, good choice. Chris?
I don't have one to give because I haven't seen them all.
Oh, boy. Okay, all right. I'm going to take this one. Jesus,
you're the man on this one. You got to pick up our slack here.
Have definitely seen all three. Army of Darkness is actually my least favorite because I think that's the most commercialized one. And there's just way too much like Three Stooges shit going on, and I think a lot of that stuff was done to produce or to appease the producers, as it were. That movie went through several different iterations. Anyway, so it comes down to Evil Dead 1 or 2, which ostensibly are kind of the same movie. Like 2 is kind of a remake of 1, but this really wacky, over the top version of 1.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. Yeah, so a lot of the most hilarious moments I think in the Evil Dead trilogy come from 2. One has got that nostalgia though for me, you know. I really, really enjoyed that one, I think, the most. I gotta
say. Did you ever watch the commentary on the DVD for Evil Dead 2? It's so funny.
It is.
That's one of the only commentaries I've ever watched the entire thing for, and I was laughing the entire time.
It's so
when it keeps making the comment on the moon, how it's so blatantly like a picture of, it's like a different color than what the background is.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep pointing that out. He's like,
In the first one as well.
Was it?
Yeah, they carried it over to the second one, I think, as an inside joke. But the deal with the first one is that was put in post, obviously, like back in the editing room.
Yeah.
That moon, and you couldn't see it on the film stock. But when it actually made made it to like a digital, conversion,
yeah,
it was so much more apparent. And they're like, "Oh fuck!"
That's
funny. No way to really fix it now, I guess. So it's just funny that it's in there. But yeah, actually, the shit in 2, a lot of it was just like they used the same footage from 1.
Hmm.
Just kind of carried it over a little. Just some of the like cutscene stuff, the B roll junk. Anywho, yeah, 1's my favorite, though.
All right. Thanks, Aces.
All right.
As per usual.
All right. We got more emails?
Do we?
Yeah, we do, actually. All right. Hello, Indus Crew. This is from Mr. Goose.
What's up, Goose? We haven't heard from him in a while.
It's been a really long time since I wrote in, and since my water polo season is over, and I finally get more than 4 hours of sleep a night, thanks to my homework, I can finally write to you guys. I was going to send you guys an email for Indus Fest!
Indus Fest!
But math, biology, Spanish midterm the next day was not to be ignored. I wanted to say I heart you guys, whether it's making me laugh randomly in the car and making my mother wonder what the hell I'm listening to, or just getting me through the night writing essays. Since I missed the random question at Indus Fest, I'm going to ask it now. What is your worst or best experience in high school? Is this good enough for a bag of games? No, it's not. I'm sorry. For me, the worst day was the first day of high school. I don't know anyone there, and looking for someone to eat at lunch was awkward. He wanted to eat someone? Somewhere to eat.
Someone.
My favorite day is my homecoming. I heart my date. Mrs. Goose sounds pretty good. Have a great podcast, you guys. Oh, P.S. Jason, I've been playing Uncharted 2 for a while, and I've come to realize that you may be a bit wrong about Uncharted. I still heart you. Congrats, Chris, on the baby.
Hey, thanks, man.
Jeff, you're a douche. No, he didn't say I was just trying to make you feel included, man.
It's all right.
Man, best or worst high school?
Best and worst.
Best or worst? Best and or best or best or?
Yeah, I can't. Well, either your best or your worst. It was worst slash best.
Oh, man. I'd say one of my worst ever was playing. Okay, I was on the basketball team, and it was the first game of the season, and it was we were playing the best team, who has been the best team for like the last couple years, like a rival school. And I was put in the game with, like, I don't know how many minutes left to go. It was, you know, it was whatever. Like, all right, trying to get in there. So we're at our first home game, and there's people watching. I was nervous as hell. And I get the ball on almost like a fast break. We got, like, we turn the ball over, or we got the other team to turn it over. Guy passed up to me. It's pretty much, I have, like, a wide open layup coming up. But all I can think about is this one guy who was coming up behind me, this big, tall dude, who has been like blocking everyone, their grandmother, the entire game. For some reason, I thought he was right behind me, so I put a little bit too much power into my layup, and it was an air ball. It didn't even hit backboard, didn't hit rim. I was wide open, nothing. And the entire gym was just like, oh, whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go shoot myself in the face. Like, that was absolutely terrible. And yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. And I hated it.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
You got through high school though. Okay.
I did. Yeah.
Chris, what you got?
All right. I'm going to give you the best and the worst, cuz they're both the same. And I'm going to be cheesy, just like Mr. Goose said, that the best and the worst. The best was my prom. I did have an absolute great time at my prom. However, it was also my worst, because we got for prom, we went as a group. There were six of us. And we got a stretch Mercedes-Benz limo. All right, so we're leaving the Marriott Marquis, which is downtown, that's where our prom was, my date pops her head out of the sunroof, starts pointing at people and saying, "Are limos better than yours?" I was like, "Oh, please tell me you are not doing this shit to me." And, you know, it was one of those things where I was just like, thank God these windows are tinted. I hope no one realizes that she's my date. And I didn't hear anything about it, but it was pretty embarrassing at the time.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
You had a pretty easy high school.
Yeah, tenure. I did. Yeah, I was that guy that just kind of
so many worse stories. I don't have a worst.
I was that guy that just kind of got along with everybody. You know, I wasn't trying to be in any particular crowd, so I was just doing what I was doing. I was doing my thing.
I hawked a loogie on a girl's shoulder. That was embarrassing.
Nice.
Was it on purpose?
No, totally bad. We're in the smoking section, and I actually had a cold, so I was hawking out these really nasty ones. And then I took a drag of my smoke, and I was like, "Oh god!" I exhaled, like, "Oh, I got to clear my throat." So I cleared it and turned out to the right and just like let one go, like spit. And she was just walking by, right on her shoulder, and she basically like started yelling at me. I'm like, "I'm sorry, it was an accident." And whatever. Every time I sorry after that, it was just like dirty look. I was like, "Oh god."
So you guys never dated or did it or anything, right?
No. No.
Was she hot?
Gotcha. She was better than average, but she wasn't like drop dead or anything like that.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. Which means in high school terms, no.
I guess.
Hey, gents. I got to do mine. That's right.
Where are you?
Let's see. Let me give you one of my worst ones. Let me actually clear up not only my throat, but the...
Yeah, don't spit to your right.
Never actually went to high school. Actually, I went for like a week or two. Or something like that. I did graduate high school, but the teachers that be felt that I didn't need to be in high school or something, so they had me test out like when I was 16 or something like that. So I never actually got to go to high school. That's crazy talk. Anyway,
now did you get a diploma or did you get a GED?
No, I got an actual diploma from DC Everest High School, 1995. Anywho, I did have a pretty extensive junior high career. Yeah, I did. I think one of the worst moments, let it be known that I was kind of a bastard back in school, and I had some problems with authority or whatever. So I was sitting in school suspension, you know, which was not uncommon. this is about the time that the Gulf War was starting, and a bunch of students got together to protest this war, and they organized this this big like walkout or whatever. So I wanted in on this action because, you know what, it gets me out of school. So right. I couldn't care less about the war. But the time came. I think it was like during second period or something like that. Everybody got together in the hall, and me and I think Doug Narlock started walking out, leading everybody. Come on, let's go. We're leaving the school. And then, the assistant principal screams to everybody, if anybody leaves the building, you guys are suspended. And it's not like, we cared. So we just kept on walking. And, we got outside and we're like, yeah, fuck you. Turned around and nobody had followed
us. No one was with you.
It actually reminds me of one. So I gotta comment when you're done.
All right. Go for it.
No, I finish up.
Oh, that was it, man. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. And we just kind of sheepishly walked back inside and it's like, they put us back in school suspension. It's like, all right, everyone. People had signs and shit. I'm like, where were you? What? You didn't want to get suspended? Come on.
All right, so when in middle school, because we didn't do junior high, we did middle school, I was very similar to Jason. I was in school a lot. High school, I kind of turned things around. I wasn't as much of a talker, I had a big mouth in middle school, big time. There was one time when I ended up in a school suspension, and it happened to me when there was one day when I was in the lunchroom. And I was actually having breakfast before class, and I had like 5 minutes before class, and I'm, eating whatever I'm eating. And the principal walks by, and he stops and says, hurry up and get to class. And I'm like, all right, well, let me finish my breakfast. He goes, get to class. And he walks away, and I'm like, oh. And as he's walking away, I flipped him off.
Oh, yeah.
And right behind him was the assistant principal. And he saw me, and he just kind of looked at me, and he did that Khmer motion with his finger. And I was like, oh, and I ended up getting it was actually worth it because I only got like a day of in school for it, and it's like, yeah, I never minded in school suspension because I just did all my homework and then I could go home and do whatever the hell I wanted.
They wouldn't let me do my homework. I had to write sentences
in what
school. Yeah, like six pages
in school at my school. We actually did our schoolwork while we were in the class.
See, other kids got to do their homework. I didn't get to. No, because I didn't mind getting put in school. So they had to make it, unappealing to me.
Oh, wow.
So they made me write sentences. So I would always try and be sneaky and, write different shit, in this like wall of sentences, like, Mr. Wolf sucks ass or, please talk or something like that. And they'd always find it every friggin' time. Like, there's like 6 pages of the same sentence. Oh, God. How do you do that?
That's awesome.
Right. I do have one more. Seventh grade science class. I really did not like my teacher, and he really was kind of a bastard. But I was sitting in the back of the class, and I just decided like that day I was going to just be a dick, And he finally asked me a question. He's like, Jason, we were talking like about cumulus clouds or some shit. And he's like, so Jason, what do you think? And I'm like, I think you're a fucking idiot. Oh, he's like, go down to the office. And I just pranced out.
I'm sure that were people's reactions usually that? Do they all usually start laughing, or was it more of like
a lot of kids at my school were prudes, so they would just kind of like put their hands over their mouth and it's like, oh my god, did he really just say that?
I think you're a fucking idiot.
Awesome.
Oh shit. Okay. So do you guys want the voicemail?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Indus? This is Michael Hira, or
Michael Waffle, name
which you had maybe well. Listen, I'm out in town at the launch for everyone's favorite game, well, some people's not, Modern Warfare 2. But I have a question to ask you guys. My wife has approved letting me get a 360 in the last couple of months since we're getting a television. I wanted to know what games that you three would suggest as far as to get for the system. Now, there's a couple there to be a givens, like Halo and Gears of War, but any other suggestions are appreciated. Keep up the great show, guys, and I'll see you later.
All right, Mr. Mike O'Hara.
So he's back down. So 360 games, huh?
Yeah, I would first suggest something that you can play within a weekend, because I'm sure by the weekend's through, you're going to be done with 360 gaming forever and go back to PC. But so something real short and quick.
Modern Warfare 2. Mass Effect for sure.
Yeah.
Mass Effect's a good one.
If you didn't already play it on PC, because it is better on the PC, but
true. He may have it on PC because he's a big PC gamer. So
yep, Crackdown, I'd say it's a lot of fun.
I think I just said that.
Did you?
Extreme Beach Volleyball 2.
Extreme Beach Volleyball.
There's no shame Extreme in that. Boop Rumble Volleyball. Roses.
It's also Rumble fantastic. Roses. That's stay away from that. That's garbage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't listen to Jason.
I don't know. It's a pretty good one.
Hey, I'm gonna throw one out there that you could probably find really cheap. That's fun as shit, but it's not about the experience. Earth Defense Force 2017.
Yeah, big ups to that game. Super amount of fun.
Super fun.
Lots
super
of replayability.
Very campy. Very just like ridiculously cheesy. But it, for some reason, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. There you go. Never played it. I need to play that. Oh, everyone keeps saying it's fun.
Horrible execution in that game. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a bad game. It's like when you watch a B movie. I mean, this is a B game. It really is. But for some reason, it's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say Forza 3 if you like racing. It's awesome. Okay. I don't know.
That's all I got.
Good shit.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I'd doubly recommend Mass Effect for any platform. And Rumble Roses.
That was our game of the year for 2007.
Rumble Mass Roses? Effect. Oh, no.
No, not Rumble Roses.
Yeah, Rumble Roses.
I'm like, I don't remember that at all. Let's see. We got let's do an email. I think it's my last email.
All right.
Hello, Indus. As you can probably tell by the title is "I'm in trouble." Please recommend this message. This email is Demon Souls related.
Yes,
I've been playing this game a lot, and I think I'm in trouble. You see, like any normal college student, I bought Modern Warfare 2 the day that it came out, and I played it nonstop for the rest of the day. However, I haven't played it at all for several days now. Why? Because Demon's Souls is literally consuming me. When I'm not playing it, I think about what I want to do in it. When I do play and die, I'm filled with a range of emotions. First, I get mad at Demon's Souls for being so darned strict, and I express this by directing some profane statements towards my HDTV. Then I get mad at myself for being stupid enough to get caught in that situation to begin with, and I curse my skills, or lack thereof, for not being able to get past that challenge. Then I get mad at Demon's Souls again because nobody's perfect and I shouldn't be anally raped because of one stupid thing. However, at the same time, I grudgingly acknowledge that I died because I did something wrong. It was my fault, and Demon's Souls wants to make damn sure I know it. After I turn off my PS3, walk out of my room with my head hung low, and give in to my feelings of loss and despair, Demon's Souls calls out to me. I get a sudden urge to go right back and try something new for the level that has been tormenting me. And while like a good little soul, I obey. Why, Demon's Souls? Why must you put me through this? The addictive nature is puzzling to me. I'm not very far into the game, and I'm not very high level either. Yet I cannot deny that there is something about this game that just gets its nasty little hook into me. So, now I offer you all some questions. What, so far, was your favorite moment in Demon's Souls? What character are you playing as? And lastly, what bosses and areas have you beaten thus far? Thanks for reading this email. Keep up the great work. This is Mike, also known as Striker725 on VG Evo and PSN.
Cool.
We have another convert, people.
Yep.
That's right. Who wants to go first? Yep.
Welcome to Jason. The Demon's Souls.
I just played it yesterday, actually, for a bit.
Oh, really? Last time I played it was at Extra Life.
Extra Life.
Yeah, okay. That did not go very well. That was one day that Demon's Souls was very strict with me. And it was my fault I was playing.
What level were you playing?
I just started out.
So you started brand new.
Yeah, I didn't have my save files on there, I don't think. But.
So what level is your character right now that you're using?
On the old PS3, I think
I guess you got to start all over again, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh.
I was playing a priest, just because I like the counterattack with the mace. I think it looks the coolest. Also, I like having healing spells, and I dig the chainmail. He looks good. I don't remember which level I was at, though.
You kind of lose track because you like when you first, especially when you're first starting, you can go up levels pretty quick. So.
Yeah, and you start out at different levels and everything, so there's no real clear cut indicator. You know?
Right.
Cause, yeah, I they don't really tell you what level so much as, you know, like your stat points, I guess.
We have soul level.
Yeah,
which
you
is,
have, yeah, that, that one overall
kind of
like
the level, yeah. But
yeah, you don't like see that. It's not like there's
no, it's not like when you, it's not like goes, you leveled up.
Right,
right.
Something
right.
like that, yeah.
Exactly. And the last boss that I fought was the, God, it's been so long now, the flame one.
Fire Lurker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's making me my bitch right now. I can't beat him. I finally bought a magic spell and went in to fight him, and I'm level 27 right now. And no one's, I don't think anyone's, like, people, again, have gone away from that game, probably because of Modern Warfare, but usually in front of any boss, you could find people to summon into your party without a problem. So I purposely was like, hey, I'm turning myself into human form. Wasted one of those stones or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell? There's no one here to summon. This is ridiculous. So I'm like, I'll try to fight him by myself, which I did not bad. I got him down to about 50% health, but then my magic points ran out and I had nothing to replenish them with because I'm using a hunter.
Yeah.
So I can't replenish him myself. So after, if you're not using magic on him, you might as well just curl up and die because my melee attacks were doing not even a millimeter of damage, really.
So, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he just whooped my ass. Like, I was mad because I was doing really well when I actually had the magic points. I was, like, hitting him. It was doing, like, a decent amount of damage, but I got him down to about 50%. And then at that point, I was like, now I have to get close to him, and now he's just going to totally rape me. And he did. But, yeah.
All right.
That's about where I am, too. But I'm trying to figure out which level I should go to now. Just kind of level up. My favorite moment so far is, I think, has been, I think it's the level, yeah, I think it's 1-2 when you're crossing the bridge and the red dragons is always coming down and breathing fire and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's awesome. The first time I saw that dragon fly over, I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Scared the shit out of me. Oh my
me
God.
Me too. Me too. I got hit by him a couple times, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I've played through 1-1 and 1-2, and I started playing 2-1 at Extra Life. Died twice pretty quickly, and moved on to something else at that point, and I haven't gone back to it yet because...
Have you fought the spider boss yet?
No.
Okay. No, just a little word of advice. Stay to the left and use ranged attacks. He won't even hit you. It might take a while, though.
That's fine. Well, I am using a... I am using a royal.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It probably took a lot more health meleeing him, but I remember I just went in there, and the first time I beat him, I actually helped someone else do it. Mm-hmm. So it took like 15 seconds, and we're just in there. But when I did it by myself, I stayed to the left, and... Like
no,
nailed him with arrows.
That one, like ranged attack that actually, I don't know if it's poison
no,
or what.
It doesn't hit you. It's a fire thing that'll come all the way out, mm-hmm. and sometimes it'll hit you, but it's pretty weak because you're pretty far back. And to the left, there's kind of like a wall blocking.
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty cheap, but
I'll keep that in mind. Hey, I'm all for cheap in that game. But yeah, I'm using the Royal because he started out at soul level 1 and had a magic spell from the start. And I think I'm level like 24 now or something like that. I don't remember what I am, but the last boss I fought was the Tower Knight, and I thought it was pretty damn epic. I loved fighting him. It was really cool. So I do want to go back to it, but there's so many games, and that's kind of what happened.
That's
it's like
thing.
I got caught up in something else at the time, and I think it was Uncharted or something, but I got caught up.
I'm mad like this year. I'm mad. There's so many games coming out early next year. There's going to be no drought again. So. So much stuff coming out in January, February, March. So I don't know if I'll be able to catch up.
Yeah. Do you remember earlier this year when we were like hearing about some of the games that were getting delayed to like 2010?
Yeah.
And we're like, why the hell would they? And then we'd realize now that there's so many freaking games out. We can't even keep up with them. There's so many games, so little time.
There's some people, I mean, Bleak Harvest, and I think, is it Solid Snack? Is that the guy's Solid... Something, and I know they're posting in the forums. They're kind of doing maybe like a Demon Souls special, but I don't know if we'd have to all get back into it for that to happen.
I'm down for that, yeah. Everything that I'm playing right now is just like a means to Demon Souls, because I know that once I start sitting down with it again, you know, I'm just going to be completely engrossed, because that's the way that I was when I first started playing it. And then, you know, I had real world shit to take care of, so I actually physically had to hide it so I wouldn't play it.
Oh, that's right, too. And then I remember it wasn't hidden that well. I found it when I was there.
Yeah.
I was like, here's Demon's Souls.
I'm like, no, don't tell me where it's at.
If we do one, we got to get John involved again because he's actually already beaten the game and everything.
Or even so. Bleak Harvest. He's
Bleak Harvest, too.
He's offered to do a special with us.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
We might have to do that.
Might have to. All
next
right.
year.
What else you got?
Have to be done.
What else do I have?
Voicemail left.
Yep.
Mail left.
Yeah, I do have one more voicemail left.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Go ahead. Could you play?
Hi, guys. This is Oliver, also known as Beamong from BG Ebo.
Ah, yes.
What's up?
This is actually my second voicemail, because according to anyone who replied to you, there were some statics on the background on my first one. Just wanted to ask, Jason, if you played on the first time that you played Street Fighter, did you play it on Super Defunking Jason mode? Because I know you're a big fan of Street Fighter, so I was just wondering. And just wanted to ask you guys, which game that you bought and have played are you most ashamed of, and even the ones that you haven't told anyone yet? So keep up the good work. Thanks for the great podcast.
You're welcome.
Hope to hear from you guys.
And you will right now.
Yep.
I wonder if he means old
the console version, I'm guessing.
Yeah, console version on when you played like arcade mode or something.
I think at first, maybe when I first started learning the game, but yeah, I remember 8 starring, the original Street Fighter 2. The Super Nintendo. That's the only way I would play it, I guess.
Yeah, because after a while, it got pretty easy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Mortal Kombat, which was just cheap as fuck until, it would be cheap as hell for 5 matches. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to let you easily beat me now. And then cheap as fuck for 5 matches.
Well, Bison would still beat the shit out of you every now and again.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the characters were uber cheap. Guile walking forward, then all of a sudden doing a
same kick. With Blanka Balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk forward, so, and all of a sudden...
But everybody had a pattern, and I guess I had played it so much that I had worked out the patterns. So, it was frequent that I would get to the end without getting hit at all, like double perfects all the way through.
Oh, wow, holy shit.
I played Street Fighter a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot. So,
wow.
So, yeah, all even right. Back then, I was not doing Super the Fucking Jason mode. So, there.
All right. What else did he say? The
shame games we bought.
Shame game. I think we've actually talked about this before.
We had that guy on extra. We had that in this fest, actually. Someone asked that question.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, mine was Beyond the Beyond for the PS1, I think.
I just bought Age of Conan for $5.
Didn't they close down the servers for that, or is it still up?
I think they're still up, actually. Yeah. They're trying to entice more people.
And you do own Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, too.
Yeah, but I love that one. I'm not embarrassed of it
That's
all.
True. So. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Age of Conan only bought, it's like $5, and I can see some animated.
You wanted to see boobies.
Yeah, but then I'm like, I have porn.
Yeah, free porn
available. So I haven't even installed it yet. I don't know why the hell I got it. But
actually, a game I forgot to mention it for in this fest, the guy game. I bought that.
Oh, you bought that?
Oh, yeah,
I bought it. I bought it when they took
Speaking
it off
of
the shelves. When they remember there was a girl in it that apparently was under 18, so they said they can't sell it anymore. So I found it used for like $10. I'm like, oh, it's maybe worth something, and bought it. Ended up playing it with Tanya. And
it was freaking terrible, wasn't it?
It was pretty bad. Like, I mean, the girls in it were pretty damn hot. Like, a lot of them were really hot, and they got pretty naked. Well, they got naked, but it was just such a pain in the ass to go through, because there's no skill involved, because a lot of the questions were like, will this girl get this question right? And there's really no way in hell you'd know. So basically, a lot of it was memorization. You'd play one game type, and then you'd be like, okay, I gotta remember what she says, and you play through it again, because there's a meter on the left hand side where they wouldn't be naked. They would flash and would just be totally blurred out. The next stage would be a little bit less blurred out, and the next stage would be that it wouldn't be blurred out at all. It wouldn't be censored, but you had to get questions right to get it up to that level. So, of course, the whole point of that game is to see every girl naked, so there's a lot of cheating going on.
There's a lot of work to get to the payoff in there.
Yeah,
really.
Then I realized, I was just going to say, just the internet. But I remember I was pretty ashamed when I was buying that, too. I'm like, they're like, you're buying this? I'm like, it's for a friend as a joke?
Liar! Cool.
Well, kids, that's all I got, man.
All right. Cool. Let's move on then.
Give something away.
Let's give something away. Psychonauts. Goodoldgames.com.
Psychonauts.
This is our 7th good old game that we've done. So we're giving this one away, and I'm generating my random number, and the random number is 20. Number 20 is Benjamin Lai.
Benjamin Lai?
Congratulations.
You'll be playing Psychonauts in your dreams.
Walking of the night.
Oh, jeez. Don't know the words. It's mostly related to Psychonauts. Anyway, courtesy of goodoldgames.gog.com, you just won Psychonauts, buddy.
Hallelujah. Congratulations, and thank you for entering. Hope you enjoy the game and that you enjoyed the show.
Yes. The Forza thing is now over, the Forza contest.
Oh, who won?
In his Forza car? The last person who I did it yesterday, actually, just randomly. I think the number, the winner was Double O'Regan, actually. So, Regan Fest.
Double O'Regan!
Double O'Regan!
Congratulations on your Forza 3 Indus car.
That's right. I hope he's dancing to the song right now.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I want a double O'Regan to like carry around in my pocket.
That would be
times.
Awesome, but it wouldn't
little
fit.
Pocket Regan?
Yeah, little pocket Regan.
Pocket Regan. We need a cheapy Regan. That's what it is.
I love that, man. I really
do. So Regan, check your inbox in Forza 3. You have it there. So the two winners were Stoffinator, who won the week previously, and then double O'Regan. So enjoy.
Good stuff. All right, so all we got left is question of the week.
Yep.
So next week is Thanksgiving. So because Thanksgiving comes up, then Black Friday comes up also. So it is time to do our holiday gift guide. So
by the way, I can't record next Thursday. Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure something else out.
Okay.
It's not next Thursday. It's the following Thursday.
Okay, following Thursday. Can't record on Thursday.
Okay, good deal.
Wait, I'm quitting the show anyway.
Ha. That's right. We like Uncharted. You don't.
All right, so the question of the week is, what would you suggest for holiday purchases?
Talking about games and peripherals.
All year long.
Systems. Consoles. Yeah, and you know, where you want to shop, like, you know, where do you think you can get the best deals, that kind of thing. Everything you can say about, like, whether it be something you're going to do on Black Friday or just something that you're going to do in December. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think people should be buying this holiday season?
Give us some tips.
All right.
That we can relate to other people.
You can send your answer to the question of the week to us by sending an email to email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost leap, but it's not really.
You're just forcing that in there.
I know.
I actually forgot about it.
So you can also get us on Google Talk, which is interactivedistractions@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. That's Indus Podcast. You can also follow us each individually, which is Indus Chris, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
Love
Canadian hero. No, it's not G.I. Joe. It's like G-Force.
G-Force.
G-Force. But it's Geoff.
I always think G.I. Joe as well, so works for both.
Geoff is there.
God, shut up.
We're never going to finish this damn show. Okay. We also have a Facebook group, Interactive Distractions Podcast. Okay. Are we all set? You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
I think that's it.
Nope. Good.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about us. We would appreciate it. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that as well. So, until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Play them hard.
Play them all night long.
Play them when you're all by yourself.
Play the guy game.
When you're all by yourself.
It's the only way to play it.